Blog Talk Radio.
Can we get your thoughts on tonight? Obviously, a crazy night. Seeing a lot of talk of a fix. People saying it didn't look right. Have you seen any of that? Do you hear any of that?
People are saying what?
That it was a fix. That there
was
something.
Oh, yeah, it was fixed.
You know, it's a,
that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Right.
Okay? That is just stupid.
And new USC middleweight champion of the world, Chris Weidman!
Unbelievable.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yeah, dig it. Yeah.
Weidman. Of course, that happened this past Saturday. We'll get into all that a little bit later on, but I am the host of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am Double D, the Dean of Credibility, and you can find me at Folsom County. With me back this week after having a glorious 4th of July off, it is Dan, the man, the above-average comedian, Dan Colachico.
Hey, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at DanLaw83.
And, of course, our MMA analyst who gave Chris Weidman absolutely no chance. It is Omega Squad Chris Green. How are you tonight, sir?
I am fine and hungry. People can follow me at Omega Squad.
I'm hungry.
Like Chris Weidman.
Yes, I'm hungry for some pie.
You know what I'm hungry for? Internet Explorer to work.
That would be good.
I that's what I'm hungry for right now, so I could help tweet
that's
on the show.
That's why I don't use Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that's why I use Firefox or any numerous other.
Anything else but.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ah!
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much, that's where I go. Now, you can also follow the blog that probably hasn't been updated in about 2 months now. We're back to that again.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, what happened to Jimmy Dillon? I don't know. Hopefully he'll make his triumphant return, but you can follow that at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. You can also find the Facebook at Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Stitcher Radio. You've inspired me. I think I'm going to work on that article this weekend.
It's been in the drafts for months.
3 months to be exact.
Yes, 3 months.
Dean, you can't rush genius.
Yeah, you can't.
It's the great American novel. You know what? I think David DeCook actually finished his novel before you finished a 5,000-word article. But, hey.
Is 5,000 words?
I don't know yet. Well, probably right now it's around 500.
I will never reach 5,000.
I have.
I could.
Leave you in a UFC card.
I mean, I could if you let me. If I rant like I usually do on things.
No. Is that what the world needs? A Dan Colachico rant?
Why not?
On the state?
Remember my letter to Billy Corgan?
Oh, my God. Don't remind me.
Hey, Dean, remember that letter to Billy Corgan?
Don't. I'm sure he tuned in.
Doubtful.
He was one of the 100 that tuned in that night. But
100?
Well, I don't know.
You're giving him credit.
Well, be that as it may, I wanted to talk a little bit about, of course, this wacky weekend, Omega.
Crazy.
Did something happen?
Yes.
I wasn't aware.
Well,
I was kind of out of it.
Would you like me to tell you?
The main event, of course, of UFC 162 was the crowning of a new middleweight champion. I don't want to go into our complete post-fight analysis quite yet, but how shocked were you?
I was incredibly shocked. I was incredibly shocked that it happened. I was incredibly shocked that in the way it went down. It went against every reasonable bone in my body that it went down in the manner that it did.
Certainly, but I think the most shocking thing to me was after that first round, you saw him getting into Weidman's head. He's shucking and jiving. He's having a good time playing the mind games.
Yeah.
I scored it 10-5. Now, granted, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Because actually Weidman won the first round. But
yeah.
I couldn't believe that he continued it to the extent that he did, and...
Well, I mean, why wouldn't he? Weidman was playing right into it.
Well,
I mean, that's the thing. Weidman was playing into that game.
And he won it, though.
He won. I mean, that's the indisputable fact, is that he won. But, you know, at the end of the first round, and you're sitting there looking at that last minute or so, and you say, oh, Silva's got this now. I mean, he's in his head. Weidman's playing right into it. And then he started up the second round, and he kept playing right into it. So, I mean, up until the ending, I had all the confidence in the world that Silva was going to pull this out.
Oh, I think we both did. And, of course, for the people that might not have heard us last week, as we broke this down, here's a special little look back, if
it's
you
a flashback.
Will, to our analysis of this fight.
There are better grapplers in the UFC than Anderson Silva.
Oh, sure.
But there's nobody even close in the striking. There's nobody even close in the movement. There's nobody even close in the total package. Certainly in middleweight. This is what we talk about every Anderson Silva fight. Eventually he's going to get old, and eventually his body's going to break down, or he's going to make a mistake, or something's going to happen. He's going to lose a step. That happens to everybody. It's not today.
No.
I really don't think it's today.
Be that as it may, I mean, certainly Anderson Silva is not going to lose this one. The spin machine's out of control, Omega.
Hey, we could be wrong. We could be sitting here next week and saying, holy crap, Anderson Silva got beat. I wouldn't lay money on it.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't see it. But right now, Omega, what I want to talk about, we're both going with Anderson on this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. All day, every day.
Well, we were very confident in our thoughts heading in, and I'd even say through the first round.
Yeah. Dean, may I say it? May I say it?
Say it.
Holy crap, Anderson Silva got beat.
Now, what does this mean? Now, of course, we'll talk about this a little bit later on as well, but what does this mean going into the rematch? Are we going to see a serious Anderson? I think that's scary. We haven't seen him take someone seriously probably since Dan Henderson.
Yeah, it's been a long time since he's taken anyone seriously. I hope so. I'm 75% certain we're going to see the killer Anderson Silva heading into the rematch. But there's that 25% of me that says that listens to him after the fight's over, that listens to kind of how he hems and haws after in the press conference and up to this point. 25%'s got me wondering if he's just going to walk in and not be motivated.
But then again, apparently behind closed doors, he's singing another tune. Apparently he wants some Super Bowl weekend. Dana White wants it at the end of the year.
Yeah, and that doesn't sound like that's going to happen. It sounds like it's going to be Super Bowl weekend. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. We've said it about Anderson Silva before. He's kind of a diva.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, he tends to change his mind on a whim. I think with some time, I think it'll solidify, and he'll want to be he'll be motivated. I think he'll want to fight. I think Weidman's gonna help with that, because Weidman is gonna want to establish that it wasn't a fluke. So I think there's gonna be some trash talk back and forth. We may see the kiss again from the weigh-ins.
I'm hoping for the shoulder bump myself.
Yeah, I could have done without the kiss, but it's okay.
Yeah.
you know, it's. I hope that this is a motivating Anderson Silva that comes back. I really do.
The kiss.
They were very close during the weigh-in. Yeah. They were very close.
They went nose to nose at the weigh-in, and then went further.
I'm gonna beat you.
That was pretty much how it was. They're like right up. There's a picture floating around the internet. They are literally lips to lips in at the end of that kiss. At the end of that weigh-in. So
that's kind of hot.
Yeah.
Dan. Now, moving right along. Tonight, of course, is Girls Night here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, and we are going to be joined by two of the best on the independent scene. Of course, we're going to welcome back Chrissy Rivera in just a few moments. And Chrissy has a lot to say, apparently.
She's a little ornery this evening.
Very well could be. Very well could be. I've asked her repeatedly, are you sure? Are you sure nothing is off topic?
And I've been there.
Probably to the point of annoyance, I have asked her if she's okay with any question that I may
ask.
She
might come on here and curse you off. Shut up!
But in addition to that, we are also going to be joined by Addie Starr. Now, first I heard of Addie Starr was going back to the WSU King and Queen tournament, and she was the tag team partner of Matt Tremont. They had a team called Scars and Stripes. Now, the reason I haven't heard of her previous to that was she competes in Canada primarily.
Eh?
So we're going to talk with Addie Starr as well. We're going to talk with Chrissy Rivera. She's here. She's ready. I don't see any reason not to bring her on.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, it is the queen of hardcore. Well, not hardcore. Of ultra-violence, I'm sorry. It is also the queen of Four Loko. She's a wrestler in her own right. We're going to bring on Chrissy Rivera right after this. Cell Talk Radio. It is Chrissy Rivera. Chrissy, how are you doing tonight?
Hi. I'm okay. That was quite an introduction that you gave me there. Queen of Hardcore. That's a little exaggerating a little bit.
The Queen of Ultraviolence. How's that?
Okay. That's okay. That's acceptable, I guess.
Okay.
Don't get me into trouble. I don't want to be booked for all these like light tubes and thumbtack matches now because you're announcing me as a Queen of Ultraviolence.
Well, but, of course, we know what happened in the ultraviolet food fight.
Yeah.
Cucumbers.
Yeah. I love
watermelon. But
yeah, I don't like watermelon anymore. I can't look at watermelon the same way because of what happened at the 14th anniversary show. In case you missed that, CZW's show in February, it was quite a spectacle, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, thumbtacks, there were thumbtacks and cupcakes. I can't look at cupcakes the same way, Chrissy.
And cucumbers. That's another one.
What you did with that cucumber, Greg Excellent, I still don't know if he's over that.
Well, I think he liked it a little bit.
fair enough, Chrissy. Fair enough. What I want to talk about first off is this Saturday. CZW returns. Four Loko is in the house. You guys are taking on the Beaver Boys.
The Beaver Boys. I love the Beaver Boys. Not to say that we're not going to beat them to a pulp, but I do like the Beaver Boys. They are incredibly talented individuals. I've seen them wrestle other indies, you know, around New York and things like that. They're two really awesome wrestlers, so I predict that is going to be match of the night on Saturday.
I've been predicting that as well, because you have the talent of both. You have the talent of both Bandido and Azrael yourself on the outside. I don't see how the Beaver Boys can overcome that.
I don't. I really don't see them coming out with a win this weekend. But we will have to see. You never know. In the combat zone, anything can happen. So I am confident in Four Loko. I'm confident in my boys, although they do mess up sometimes. No fault of mine, but yeah, you know, I guess we'll just have to see what happens. But regardless, I know it's going to be an awesome match, awesome show overall. There's a lot of really good matches on the show on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Masada taking on Chris Dickinson.
That's going to be quite a match. Two pretty angry, scary dudes that you don't want to bump into in the street going at it for the heavyweight title, I believe. So that's going to be kind of crazy.
And like you said, the whole card looks certainly packed. We're going to run down that later on. Is there any other match besides, of course, Four Locos that you're looking forward to as well? And besides the main event, of course.
Well, Alex Colon is wrestling Shane Strickland again. If you've seen their matches before, they've delivered every single time, both incredibly talented guys. So there was kind of like a Alex Colon era. Fox got to pick each other's opponent for this Saturday. So Fox had picked Shane Strickland, and Colon picked Biff Busick, who is also not very well known. A lot of people don't know who he is, but he's really, really good. I watched him wrestle Drew Gulak at National Pro Wrestling Day, and they had an amazing, amazing match. So that as well, I believe, is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that Strickland match. Shane Strickland, I think he's really got it. And Alex Colon, he's been in CZW for years. Perhaps even though he won the Best of the Best this year, he could be a little disrespected in CZW, at least in the eyes of the fans.
Oh, of course, because, I mean, let's be real here. The CZW fans can be completely disrespectful and, you know, slobs. I don't want to, you know, get really rude, but I am kind of rude, so I'll say it. But, you know, they don't really give Colon the respect he deserves. Whether you love him or hate him, he's still incredibly talented. He delivers amazing matches every time he gets in the ring, no matter who he gets in the ring with. So you can't really say he's, you know, a bad worker. I mean, people are going to, you know, not like him because he's Alex Colon. But I love Alex. He's one of my closest friends, and I have full faith in him that he's going to beat Strickland this Saturday.
Well, let's go back to Best of the Best. Of course, when that show went off the air, you nearly incited a riot.
I did not incite anything. I did not start it. If you want to know, what really happened, I will tell you exactly what happened. Alex Colon won Best of the Best. The fans were not happy about it, which, okay, I understand. You know, he's a heel, he's a bad guy. You know, a lot of people are not going to like him. Start throwing stuff in the ring, you know, bottles and food and, you know, cups and all this other crap. And, you know, you're not supposed to do that. This is not WCW. Like, don't do that crap. You know, so they were trying to keep it, you know, Maven was trying to, you know, calm the fans down. I was trying to go to the back, you know, to try to get out of everybody's way. And somebody's mother, that I'm not going to say their name, who is also on the show, her son was on the show, decided to throw a full cup of soda at me. So that angered me a little bit, but I didn't start the riot. Then you know, somebody threw. Then after that, somebody threw a bottle at me, hit me in the face. And if anybody knows me, I do not have patience. I do not have the best temper. Sometimes I can lose control a little bit. You know, I do have a anger problem, people say, you know.
No.
But, you know, you don't throw a bottle at somebody's face. It's wrestling. It's, you know, it's not real. Let's be honest. Like, let's all calm down. But a bottle was thrown at my face. I got very mad, and I might have lunged at somebody.
Greatest soundbite I've ever heard to close out a wrestling show. Greatest soundbite ever. You're the last thing that's heard, you know.
Yeah, I heard that I actually closed the show. I think I threatened somebody's life, something along those lines.
I will
ever
kill you. And
I don't remember what I said. I know, you know, when you get really mad, it's happened to everybody where you just kind of black out and you don't know what you're doing or what you're saying. Like, that was my moment, not to be confused with, you know, the faction, the label, not the stable blackout. But, you know, I just didn't know what was happening, and I kind of said things and did things, and then, you know, people come to my defense, and then, you know, other people get involved, and there might have been a small riot, but nobody really got hurt. If you technically want to know somebody got hurt, I got hurt when Aaron Fox lunged at me during the match. If you watched the main event, he hit me with a tope to the outside.
Oh,
I went into the guardrail.
Yeah.
I think a piece of my leg is still on that guardrail. I have a scar for the rest of my life in the shape of a C. Which I guess that's okay because my name starts with a C, but I forever will remember that day because, you know, I went flying into the guardrail and it decided to take off a chunk of my leg. So.
And then, yeah, you'll remember that, and then you'll remember this person throwing a bottle at you, and then you'll just get mad all over again.
Yeah. So, like, if I just randomly start, like, hitting people or, you know, like, you know, swinging things, like, people have to understand, like, I'm bitter. I'm not over Best of the Best. Like, I still have problems with A.R. Fox. Our feud is not over. It's not finished. So he has to watch his back. You know, I'm missing a piece of my leg, so I must now take something from A.R. Fox.
Yeah, a knife in 3 seconds, all you need.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't want to kill him or anything. Like, I mean,
I
stab him,
so.
Like, in the thigh. That's enough to, like, hurt him, but not, like, end his life.
Yeah, and you take a chunk out of him.
Yeah. I'll make him a Shakespeare. There you go.
Is there, or an F. There you go.
Yes.
Is there, has there ever been another time in any other event you were at where you had to be separated or get in a fan's face?
No, I've never had anyone try to come after me. Yeah, I've had people scream things at me, call me every name in the book, you know, just scream things and talk trash to me, but I've never actually had somebody, you know, physically throw an object at me or, you know, take a swing or anything like that. So I've never, you know, encountered a problem with a fan or anything like that, which is really, really weird because, I mean, I haven't been around forever, but I've been around since 05, so you would think, like, I might have, like, a crazy story of, like, you know, getting into it with a fan, especially at, like, CZW, you know, places like that, but I've had fans, you know, scream at me and call me names, and then after the show, they, you know, come buy my merch and take a picture with me and say, oh, it was all good fun, so for the most part, you know, fans are cool.
All right. So now the last show you were a part of, you weren't in attendance at Tournament of Death. So the last show you were a part of was over at a Proving Grounds, of course, from the Skate Zone. During the match that Four Loko had that night, Tommy Dreamer put his dirty hands on you.
He did. He grabbed my hair. Rude, first of all. Rude. You should know never to touch a girl's hair. My friend spent at least an hour doing my hair, and I was like, please, you know, I don't want anything to happen. I just want my hair to stay in place. I might have, you know, been in a place that I wasn't supposed to be. I don't know. Not going to confirm or deny that. But yes, Tommy Dreamer did put his hands on me. He grabbed me by the hair and he tried to give me a pile driver. Didn't happen, though.
Didn't happen. Thank God for that. Now,
son of a bitch.
This is one of your favorite parts because it's John from Rhode Island. I'm going to bring him on.
Yay, John!
Here he is. There you go. John, do what you're going to do to Chrissy, but be gentle.
My name is Chrissy Rivera, and I'm a radio host. It's what I love the most. It makes me enjoy my host. When I talk to all my folks, it's like I'm on the West Coast, proposing a toast to a scary ghost. My name is Chrissy Rivera, your radio host.
All right. Well, thank you, John from Rhode Island. It never gets old. I love it every time. So
you're so welcome, and I promised you I would be on, including for Ada.
Yes, you have to sing to Addie Starr. I know she's looking forward to it very much for you to sing her song.
And I hope you were listening to Chrissy, by the way, Dean. That is if I put you on.
Dean always put you on. He'll always put you on. Don't listen to him.
I'll put you on. Now, John, do you have a question for Chrissy?
Okay.
Can you remember in your time, like, what was maybe your first match you remember seeing when you say, you know what, I want to get into wrestling after watching this first match?
First match? That's going to make me feel really old. But there's nothing specific. There's not, like, a specific match that made me, I want to get into wrestling. I think the last time I was on the show, we kind of covered a little bit, like, you know, how I got into it. My older brother was always into wrestling, so when I was younger, he made me watch it with him. So I kind of grew up around it ever since I was younger, and that's just kind of how I got into it. I always loved it. My brother kind of forced it on me, so it was either that or go to college, and obviously I dropped out of college and went to wrestling school. Probably not the smartest idea that I've ever had, but here I am on Hell in a Cell Radio today.
Yes. Awesome. I'll give you one last one before I go, if that's good.
Another one. Yes, I get two.
Yeah. Chrissy, you're the one. You're so much fun. That's why the Beaver Boys call you, hun. Please don't run from the gun. That's you won for throwing the plum at the sun. Chrissy, you're the one.
Wow.
Thank you, John from Rhode Island.
Awesome.
Oh, John, I'll talk to you later when we have Addie on.
Okay, Chrissy, have a great week and great talking to you again. And
thank
good luck
you, John from Rhode Island.
Thank you.
You know, Phil Collins didn't pump that many songs out in the 80s.
He's got a whole playlist going.
But what I like is at the end of the song, he even ends it on the note.
He's got
a commitment to his craft, Dan.
He's got to keep it in rhyme. Hello.
I know all about committing into something that's going to burn. Trust me.
Hopefully one day we will be able to download John from Rhode Island's playlist on iTunes.
Yeah, well.
That's a project that's been talked about.
All right.
We were going to auto-tune it. We're going to have a whole catalog of.
I think the art is in the fact that we don't auto-tune him. just play the music and then. Well, you kind of spoiled my next question, but I do a lot of reading when a guest is coming on, and I read a couple times you were in college for criminal investigations.
I was, yes. I was really into the Dexter stuff before there was a Dexter, so
right.
I was really into that. I went to Ocean County Community College, which is in Ocean County, New Jersey. Go figure. Kind of, it's in Seaside Heights. So, me being young and straight out of high school and, you know, wanting to go to wrestling school and having a school right by the shore, not really the smartest thing. I kind of veered away from the Dexter stuff and more towards the wrestling stuff. As you can imagine, my parents are probably, you know, very proud of me to this day. So, I did not finish college. Maybe one day, as many of us say, maybe I'll go back. But it was really interesting. I got to learn, you know, about blood splatter and murdering people with objects and things like that. It was pretty interesting. I probably shouldn't have dropped out of it, but then it was like, oh yay, wrestling school, let's do that. And yeah, that's what happened.
Well, I mean, do you have any regrets as much as you're working now, or none at all?
I mean, I do wish that I finished college, because I really don't have any ambitions to go to WWE or TNA. I love wrestling. Wrestling has made me who I am. It is my life. This is really all I know. Like, I've made all my friends in wrestling, and, you know, people I've dated and, you know, married and divorced and all that crap. So, you know, wrestling is me, but I do wish, you know, I probably should have finished college, got a degree. I do have a full-time job. It's not like wrestling is my only thing that I just, you know, go and wrestle on the weekends and that's it. I work 40-plus hours a week. I have a pretty good job, full benefits and promotions and all that stuff. So I did make out good, so I'm not, you know, complaining about that. But I would say my only regret is probably not getting a degree like a, you know, mature adult would do.
All right. Now, this is the part that I've been sidestepping in a little bit of a way. You kind of went into it a little bit there, how you've met all your friends through wrestling. You've met people you've dated through wrestling, people you've married and divorced. Now, of course, you were married to Sami Callihan.
Yes.
Who has now gone off. He's part of WWE Developmental.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently it wasn't a good breakup.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't. But what are you asking?
Well, I'm just, you know, because it's kind of a delicate situation, and I don't know. I mean, what exactly
happened? What happened?
Because you guys were,
we're all friends here. It's girls' night, right? What do you do on girls' night? You sit in your pajamas and you drink wine and you talk about boys and your periods and purses and shoes and all that shit. So, you know, we could talk about it. I mean,
I'm spotting a
yes,
little bit,
I was married to Sami Callihan. Yes, I legally am still married to Sami Callihan. We are not officially divorced as of yet. That is changing. We both have agreed that we do want to be divorced. The breakup was not a joint decision. Without being here for 4 hours and explaining every little detail, let's just say egos kind of got in the way. I mean, we were together for 5 years. We got together when he wasn't really anybody on the indies. He was working in Ohio. It's where he's from. He moved out here because he wanted to start working for CZW, and we were dating. And we started dating before he moved out here, so I helped him move out here, moved him in with me, and, you know, like, told him places he should work as far as wrestling. So we were together for a long time. Obviously, he became a very big name. I was very proud of him. I'm not going to sit here and completely bash him and say he's not a hard worker, because I was there. I witnessed him, you know, work for no money or, you know. But I suffered with him through that. You know, there was times when we were poor, didn't have any money, you know, because he's trying to live his dream. Obviously, he succeeded. He has been signed. What exactly happened? he kind of just left. He realized he was getting signed, and there was not, he wasn't exactly the most faithful person in the world. Let's just say there was some infidelity in the marriage, on not on my part. We tried to work through it. We did for a while, and then he started talking to somebody else while we were still married, this person that he is now with, and one day he kind of just left and took half our money and the computer and the Xbox. So if that wasn't bad enough for him to walk out, he took my damn Xbox that I paid for.
That son of a bitch!
You know what? I can put up with the infidelity.
Total heel move. Total heel move. So he kind of like...
He kind of left.
Yeah. I bought myself an Xbox, so I'm okay. I got my Xbox back. I rebought a computer. I got myself all situated, but...
You can cheat on me, but do not take my video game, goddammit.
I forgave him for the first cheating, but I'll be damned if I forgive him for taking that damn Xbox from me.
God,
and my game.
Girls gotta play Halo.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He took the games, too?
Well, he took all of the games except for somebody bought me a game off my Amazon wish list, so he kind of left that. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Thank you for leaving that. But I can't play it on anything. What am I just going to do? I'm just going to stare at the cover and read it? Like, are you kidding me? So, he
what
left
was the game,
that.
Chrissy? I think that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah,
now.
What was
it?
The game? Don't tell me it was WWE 12.
No, it was Silent Hill. It was the new Silent Hill game.
Well, you know, that's great to look at the cover. It's great box art.
I haven't even played it yet.
That really actually makes me more angry than any of this other stuff. Like, you don't take the video game. What am I going to do when I'm alone?
It's like, you know, having a sandwich with no meat in it. It's like, what am I going to do with that shit?
Thank you for the bread.
Can I
really
say that? Can I curse on here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, sorry. I know. My potty mouth sometimes gets the best of me when I get all riled up. But, you know, you take things, but you don't take everything. But... yeah, so that kind of happened. So me and him are not on the best terms, but that's the truth. That's what happened. I'm sure.
I think you should go to DJ and have a Xbox on a ladder match.
That might happen.
Not now. Not now, but, you know. I mean, I'm over it now. You know what I'm saying? This happened last year. Am I still bitter? Yeah, I'm still bitter because I did sacrifice for him. I did a lot of stuff for him that nobody else would have did, and worked while he, you know, traveled the world on somebody else's dime and did shows and borrowed cars and borrowed money and got new gear and all this stuff while I worked 60 hours a week, you know, so he can have all that. So, yeah, I'm still kind of pissed about that. Am I over him? Yes. Do I want to get divorced? Hell yes, I do want to get divorced. Did it make me a stronger person? 100%. You know, I wish it didn't happen. I wish my marriage would have worked out because I do take marriage very seriously. I don't want people thinking like, oh, they just got married and she thinks it's a joke. I did not think it was a joke. He cheated on me multiple times and I forgave him and I stayed with him, which a lot of people wouldn't have done. And he went and he did it anyway. And then he walked out on me with the girl he's dating now. So... shame on me.
Do you know who that is? Is that girl in the business?
That girl is in the business, and that girl looks exactly like him.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
the only clue...
Just say the name! We already said what's going on.
Well, no, the only clue I'll give you is they had a main event during the last WSU show.
Son of a bitch.
Right, Jessica Havoc, we can say her name. I'm not going to bash the girl, like...
I might.
Do I think she's a homewrecker? Maybe. But, honestly, Do I think she could kick my ass? Yes, I'm sure she probably can. But, you know what? I don't know what he told her. I don't know what she knows. He could have told her a completely different story. She could be, I'm almost 100% sure that she is completely clueless. And she doesn't know anything that happened. So he's probably swooning her. And, oh, my God, it's Sami Callihan. Oh, my God, I'm going to date him. And that's, you know, the end. So, you know what? She wants to go date him and marry him. And, you know, fine. Good luck to them. I really don't care. But I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to bash her. Because, like I said, I haven't spoken to her. She didn't come to me like a woman and say, hey, what is going on? So she doesn't really know. So, you know, she could be in the dark for all I know, so I'm not going to say anything really negative about her.
Now, during this whole time, though, you guys are sharing a locker room at CZW. I mean, was that an awkward situation for you to work through?
Yes, at first, especially since we had split up at the end of November, and then Cage of Death was immediately right after then. So, yeah, it was a little awkward, especially, you know, me still being upset and not over it at the time. We just kept our distance, though. I'm not going to lie, it's completely weird, you know, like being married to somebody and doing a lot of things for somebody and being that person's wife and best friend and stuff at the time. Going from that 1 month to the next month, you see each other and completely walk in the other direction. But that's what he chose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I tried to talk to him. I tried to work things out with him. Try to be mature, and he just wanted to ignore me and run from me every time I walked in a direction. He, you know, changed his phone number. I couldn't get in touch with him, even with, like, divorce stuff or bill stuff. Like, I couldn't really get a hold of him because he kind of just, like, try to disappear from me, like he was trying to run, and I'm just like, all right. So, you know, it sucked. It was really the hardest 6 months of my entire life, but it got easier. It got to the point where I saw him, and I really didn't give a shit. It was like, whatever. Yeah. He did all this stuff. He doesn't care, so why am I going to care? And that was it. I just picked myself up, and I was like, screw this crap. And
so, I mean, do you curse his effigy at night and hope his wrestling career fails?
Of course I do. I'm a woman. Of course.
Because you know
what do you want me to
say?
I
hope his wrestling career fails now.
Yeah, oh, well, come on. Like, you know, like I said, I'm still a little bitter because, yes, his talent did get him to where he was, but, like, where a lot I did for him. You know what I'm saying? He traveled the world while I worked, and I gave him money, and he didn't have a car, and he never had a real job. Never in the 5 years. I think he had one job for like a month, and it was a seasonal job, and that was it. So we had our own place. We had our own car. We had two dogs, bills, gym memberships, plus the wrestling. You know, that's why, like, for a while, I didn't do a lot of shows and didn't take a lot of bookings except for CZW because I sacrificed that for him because I knew it was his dream. So, yeah, now that he's gone on to bigger and better things, what he wanted to do, yeah, I'm pissed because I feel, you know, a little disrespected. I feel like I helped you get here, and now it's like basically like you wanted to be a doctor. I got you through medical school. Now you're a doctor. You don't need me anymore. So that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, do I wish, you know, he was riding in a train and it fell off a cliff? Maybe. I don't know. You know, some days I do, some days I don't, you know. But it is what it is. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. Let him go, do whatever. Karma always comes around. Maybe, you know, maybe it'll hit him, maybe it won't. I guess we'll have to see, but in the end of it, I am a better person. I am a happier person. I'm a stronger person. He's with, you know, her. Let them be happy. I don't want to get involved in whatever they're doing. I started seeing somebody. He makes me incredibly happy. So we just went our separate ways, and that's all there is.
That sounds great. Dan, go ahead.
I was going to switch topics now because I could go on about that forever. you know, we just talk like girls and just say, well, you know, one time I had this thing.
You know what? We got to do this in September, Dan. We got to get Hell in a Cell Talk Radio together with maybe Chrissy and whatever other female wrestlers are available.
Oh,
and
have a girl's night.
And just shoot a promo. You know how we have the one with Tremont right now? We need a new commercial. So that will be the next commercial. I'm working on it right now in my mind.
I'm just saying, seriously, do you know how half of a much of a happy man that would make? I'm just saying.
We're going to have a pillow fight. It's going to be a good time.
Well, I can't promise that my pillowcase is not going to be filled with rocks and shards of glass. So.
Well, you know, Tremont already hit me with a chair, so we just upgrade.
Oh, I did not see this.
Oh.
We'll give you the link.
I'll link
you'll
it to you.
You'll have to post it on my page.
I'll tweet it to you. Now,
okay,
speaking of Twitter, I read your Twitter a lot, and I always see when Mox, God, I can't think of his name on WWE right now.
Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose.
Thank you. Whenever, what was your, explain to the listeners what your relationship with Dean Ambrose was like before he got to WWE, because you're like a proud little mother, proud mother every time you see him on TV.
I am proud. That makes me feel kind of old, but Moxley, I adore him. I love him. Ever since he came to CZW, we always got along. Obviously, he was really good friends with Sammy. So he used to come stay with us and hang out, and, you know, we do shows and stuff like that. He'd come stay with us for weeks at a time. So we kind of, like, lived together for a little bit, you know, on and off. It was basically like a brother-sister, you know, like, picking on each other, just sitting around, like, having a good time. He is the most mellow, nothing upsets him, really bothers him, dude, ever. You know, you could just sit there and have a conversation with him for hours about anything, you know, and he's just a great guy. He's always been respectful to me. We've always got along, and, you know, I've never heard a bad thing about him from anybody else. So when he got signed, I was extremely happy and extremely proud, because he's, you know, been around for a long time and working really hard, and I think he really deserves it. And now just seeing him now, you know, being in the Shield and winning titles, and, you know, like, he was, you know, in the ring with The Rock and stuff like that. It's just like, oh my God, like I'm a worker, but I mark out for that, because it's like, I know him, and I know him on a personal level, and he's a good friend of mine, and I'm extremely proud, because I know how hard he worked and how much he wanted it on a personal level. So just like seeing that, I just get like so happy every time I see him, you know, doing something on TV, because I think he's one of the most deserving people out of everybody that I know, that, you know, he really deserves that. So I'm happy for him. So I do tweet, you know, things about him all the time.
But it's a good transition to a question I just thought of when you mentioned that. Does he ever, when they're in town, do you go to the shows to see, or do you just not have enough time?
No, I never have enough time. I'm always either working or it's too far from where I am. So I don't get to go see him. I do know people that do go to the shows, and if they run into him, you know, they'll mention, you know, like, oh, like, you know, Chrissy or whatever, and he says, you know, tell me hi or whatever. So I actually have not got to see Moxley in a long time. We do speak, you know, through text and stuff like that. So I do get to speak to him, not all the time, because obviously he's incredibly busy, but yeah, unfortunately I don't get to go to the shows, and I'm really upset, because I did want to go to Money in the Bank, I guess it's this weekend, but I don't think I'm going to be able to go, so I'm kind of upset about that, but
right.
What are you going to do?
You said earlier, I get the second part of the question, you said earlier, you have no ambitions to go to the WWE. Why is that exactly?
I don't know. I mean, I never really did, like, coming up in the business. It wasn't, like, my dream, like, oh, my God, I want to go to WWE or TNA or whatever. I did have ambitions of maybe, like, you know, traveling out of the country, going to Japan and stuff like that, which I haven't gotten to do yet. But I just am not interested in traveling all the time. And honestly, the women's division in WWE is the shit. It's awful. AJ and the Caitlyn thing, which is kind of cool or whatever, but I really, it's awful. I find a lot of it disrespectful and boring, and I think a lot of people will agree with me on that. It's just like, why do I want to subject myself to that? And you just hear horror stories about this person got released because she's too fat, and this person got released.
She put on a pound.
Yeah, she put on a pound. It's like, and everybody knows me. I am not real thin, okay? So it's like, they're going to take one look at me and be like, yeah, you need to do this and that, and then I'll be like, all right, bye. So I don't want to put myself through that. It's already bad enough that, you know, being a girl in wrestling, you get a lot of complexes. You know, it's normal for girls to have low self-esteem because you're constantly being looked at and judged, and it's like you wear the wrong color, and it's like, oh, my God, Chrissy was looking really fat, you know, and stuff like that. So it's like, do I want Vince McMahon telling me that I need to lose 20 pounds? No, I really don't. Do I want to be away from my family, you know, majority of the year? I really don't. My parents aren't getting any younger. I want to, you know, spend time with them and spend time with my family and friends and stuff like that. So it's like, I just really don't care. I like I said, I love wrestling, but I know it's not what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So I just have no ambitions to put myself through that.
Same feelings about TNA?
Right. I mean, I want to say TNA's women's division is better than WWE's women's division. They have a lot of better workers. Booking-wise, obviously not the best. But,
whatever do you mean?
TNA's, like, they're a little more lax, you know. Like, I know people fly out there to do, you know, the tapings and stuff, and they don't have to travel as much and stuff like that. But I would say if it wasn't as stressful where I didn't have to travel all the time and be away and have to worry about this and that, yeah, maybe I would give, if TNA called me up, like, okay, you know. But other than that, like, I just have no desire. Like, there's more, believe it or not, people, there's more important things in life than wrestling. When you can't wrestle anymore, what are you going to do? If you break your leg or break your neck and you can't move, what are you going to do? You know, like, you got to think about that stuff. A lot of these guys do not think about that. They say, oh, my God, WWE, that's all I want to do in my life. Okay, well, what else do you like to do? Oh, I don't know. Well, what happens when you're 65 years old? They're not going to put you on TV. You know what I'm
saying?
Be like
Flair.
Unless you're Flair, you know? And Flair gets shit sometimes. So it's like, you know, like, you got to think about that stuff. It's like, do you really want to, you know, I understand people, it's their dream for people, and I'm not saying don't go for it, but I just wish some people would realize you should have a backup plan. Wrestling is not everything. There's family and other things that you can do in life, so.
What about Shimmer or Shine? Do you feel you have a place there?
Yes, I would love to work for Shimmer or Shine. I think there's a lot of extremely talented girls on there. If they, you know, gave me the opportunity, I would love to work there. I have nothing bad to say about either of those companies. Every match that I've seen, you know, I've watched some of, like, Kimberly's matches and Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez, and they all put on phenomenal matches. So I would love to work either of those places. I have nothing but respect for both companies.
Dino.
Oh, yeah, I do have a caller.
Uh-oh.
It's John from Rhode Island yet again. So let me get John on. He has another song, apparently.
Wonderful.
John.
Wait a minute. Where's the secret John chat room?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, Jesus.
John, go ahead. You begged me to get back on, so here you are. Here's your chance. Bring it home for us, John.
All right. There goes 80 Star. Here comes the night. Somebody tell Dean Dixon to turn on the light because Chrissy LaVeil is getting home from her fight and she needs to make sure the house looks bright so she can sleep tight.
John, I don't know if that was one of your best efforts, John.
You know, that was like the battle of the ballad of John and Yoko. Wasn't that great?
I liked it. I liked it, John. I liked it. It was fine.
And I just liked what you said about the women's division, which is entirely true, not to go there, because like you said, they don't do shit.
Man, they don't do shit. John just cursed. Oh, my God.
Well, it's like the thing. You are my Christy, my only Christy. You make me happy when you're on the air, because I enjoy when you swear.
Oh, thank you. I'm extremely flattered. Please make note that you need to sing just as many songs to Addie Starr in about 15 minutes.
Yes.
Okay? She's looking forward to it. All right, good.
Okay,
so anyway,
John.
Again, good luck to you in 2013. It was great talking to you again. Hope to have
thanks,
you again
Sean.
On Helmet.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
She'll probably be back by the end of the month, so John, stay
much.
Tuned for that. Yeah. Okay, so Chrissy, I know you have a lot of bookings. Go ahead and plug your bookings. You got a lot of stuff coming up, quite frankly.
Who told you that?
Well, I know for a fact.
Okay, well, CZW,
this
weekend, obviously, I will be managing Azrael and Bandito versus the Beaver Boys, Ascalon versus Shane Strickland. I am also wrestling Kylie Pierce, July 20th, which is the following Saturday, for a company called NWA Coastal. I'm making my debut there, so coastalprowrestling.com is their website. That is my next two bookings. I'm also doing custom matches. I know a lot of people aren't exactly familiar. NEWF Wrestling, which is New England Female Wrestling. Website, nefemalewrestling.com. They offer custom matches where you can actually order matches that you want to see between girls, me versus, you know, Addie Starr, me versus whoever. You know, you can order it. You can order, you know, exactly what you want to see. If there's, you know, specific moves or, you know, you want somebody to beat the crap out of me, you can order that. So
flying head scissors. That's what my match would consist of.
Yeah, really. Another flying head scissor. Another flying head scissor. Another flying head scissor. And then three pins.
Yes.
Somebody had ordered. somebody had ordered about one with about 10 tombstones in a row.
Yeah.
So that's not you're not very far off. Those things do happen. So yeah, those are my things coming up. I don't know what I'm doing after that. Who knows?
Another tombstone.
I thought there was something going on. You're in some tournament somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, yes, I am. At the end of August, I believe I am wrestling for DCW Wrestling. In Delaware, there's a women's tournament for, they're going to kill me. It's for some type of trophy, but it is a all-women's tournament, so I should be in that. Mm. And if I'm in it, I'm winning it. And whatever the prize is, I'm bringing it back home. I don't know if it's a trophy or a panda. I'm hoping it's Wade Barrett, because if it's Wade Barrett, I'm definitely winning that shit. So I think that's at the end of August.
Yes, DCW in Delaware. I do have another caller.
Wait, I keep missing the company. What is it?
DCW.
Dynamite Championship Wrestling. There's another
company.
Is it John from Rhode Island again? Because there has to be like a limit.
Well, you're even feeling the limit. I
very
love that.
Good, Chrissy, even you say.
Yes, but no, it's not John. It's a 646, so let me go ahead and get them on. Now, caller, you're on the air with Helen Cell Talk Radio and Chrissy Rivera. State your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Jay from the Bronx.
Well, hi, Jay. Do you have a question for Chrissy?
Yeah, I heard she was really big Xbox and all that stuff. I heard though she cheats at video games, like when she plays like Injustice or fighting games. I heard she's a really big cheater. I just want to know if the allegations are true.
I'm going to call this person out. This is my boyfriend calling
this
on the line, and he's bitter. Okay, this is Chris J. Rowe. Yes, I'm dating a pirate now, and he's trying to play me out, so So I'm going to call him out on the air. Yes, Injustice, I do play that game, and I beat the shit out of him and owned him in that game, and he's mad about it.
You suck.
No, I saw it on Twitter that you cheated. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, there's no cheat. There's no cheating. He's mad because I own him in that game. I have beat him so many times. He got very upset. Nobody can beat me in that game. I'm just going to say it now. Not him, not anybody else. I am the best in that game. Nobody could touch me.
Nah, I don't know about that. I heard your boyfriend's been practicing a lot.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Everybody's in love with my life here. Trying to embarrass me live on the air.
Now, do you want me to hang up on this?
I'm just saying, have you seen what she does with a cucumber?
He has not seen that match. You should scold him because we are dating, and we have been dating only for a short time. But
there's a famous saying about doing your due diligence, and you haven't done it.
He has not fulfilled his boyfriend duties and watched my ass-to-mouth spot at the 14th anniversary show.
You don't bring them.
Huh?
You don't bring them. Bring them over.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to go ass-to-mouth.
No, you never go ass-to-mouth, Dan.
Only in the height of passion.
No, I don't even think
it's
good then.
It was in the heat of a moment, night of passion. 14th anniversary show, and Greg was asking for it.
I'm just saying, Chrissy, just come home one night with a cucumber polish.
I'm just gonna go to J Rose's house, and I'm just gonna sit a cucumber on the table. I'm not gonna.
You won't like what she does with that cucumber.
I'm just gonna sit it there and not say a word, and whatever happens.
Can you YouTube this right now?
Huh?
I said I'm about to YouTube this.
I don't know. I think CZW and a certain owner of the company might have gotten that match taken down.
Yeah, it was taken down.
Yeah, it was up for a while. It did have a lot of hits, too. But he did take it down, so you have to buy the DVD, J-Rail, like everybody else.
Or try Daily Motion. Daily Motion,
Or Daily Motion. Or I can just give you the DVD.
Yeah,
buy shit.
Chrissy, walk into the house, bring a cucumber and the DVD, have them watch the DVD, and then just put the cucumber on the table and like, now what, bitch?
But Jay Rose, thank you for calling. Oh, what the hell's going on now? I'm trying to... I lost control. Now,
who's yelling? Who lost control?
I did.
Did you hang up with my boyfriend?
Anarchy.
No, he's still here.
Anarchy.
He's the one chanting anarchy.
The one chanting anarchy.
Yes. Jay Rose, thank you for calling in. I'm sure you're going to see this fine young lady pretty soon with a cucumber and a DVD.
Cucumber's optional.
Night, night, keep your butthole tight.
Oh, who said that? That was gross. Weird.
Yes.
Way to class up the podcast, Dan.
Of course it was Dan. Of course it was Dan.
God damn you, Chris.
But Chrissy, where can the fine people out there, if we haven't scared them off quite yet, where can the fine people find you, follow your career, and get into the mind of Chrissy Rivera?
Oh, please. Okay. Well, Facebook, obviously. I'm under there. Under CRIV, CEERIV. Obviously, don't have my full name on there. Twitter, obviously. I do love Twitter more than Facebook, so please add me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is itsyriv, spelled the same way. I also have an Instagram, same name, itsyriv. I post all types of ridiculous pictures. There is a picture of me and Greg Excellent and a cucumber on there. So
there is. I've seen
it. If that's any indication that you need to follow me, that's the one. So
yes, Instagram.
You can find me posting nonsense. I'm really not that interesting, but there you go.
Well, I do want to thank you for your candor. I do want to thank you for sharing exactly for the record what happened there with Sammy. And I can't wait for next time. We're going to get on Calzone. And apparently there's, yeah, you want to come on.
A lot of bitterness and probably a lot of bodily noises coming from that one. So.
I've heard. Yeah, I've heard about that.
You hang around with a crowd, I tell you.
He's a slob, let's just say it. I love you, John, but you're a slob.
Very well. Chrissy, again, thank you for coming on. And we'll talk pretty soon because that's probably going to come up the first week in August.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
I want to say for the record, the American Roughneck has to be the dumbest person I know. He's calling me right now on my phone. I just had to get that out there. Just saying. Omega, it's time.
It's time.
Well, I'll tell you, someone's suffering has ended this weekend. Anderson Silva, he's tired.
Yes.
Chris Weidman is the champion now, but we'll get into all that. I do want to talk about a few of the other things first on the undercard, of course. There were some good finishes. There were some statements being made. I think Gonzaga made quite a statement.
Yeah. I'm torn about Gonzaga. You know, yeah, 17 seconds, that's certainly a statement that he's got power in his hands. It's against Dave Herman. I just don't know if that's really – how much of a statement really is it. But, you know, hey, we've seen these kind of things out of Gonzaga before. He did what he had to do. He had to go in and get a win that was decisive, and you can't get much more decisive than a 17-second KO.
That's for sure. What was that, the third fastest knockout in the heavyweight division or something?
I think it's tied for the third fastest, I believe.
17 seconds came right in. That was the only fight they could show after, of course, the main event. So that's you did see highlights of that on the main card if you did buy the pay-per-view. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Of course, we can't forget Edson Barboza. My goodness, chopping a man down to size.
Man, yeah, he was just ripping leg kicks. Just brutal. That guy just snaps that kick out there. It hits the meat of a guy's thigh or his calf, and it's just devastating. You know, this is his third KO in his career via leg kicks. So we have guys that either get quit or the refs stop the fight because they can't stand anymore. That's just brutal. And you know, this kid, you know, he's got all the talent in the world. I mean, he's got plenty of other fights where he's done normal KOs. He's just an exciting fighter. I really look forward to seeing him continue on as he goes. I mean, he lost to Jamie Varner, and that was a little bit of a step back. But since then, he's been really looking really, really good from a striking perspective. And, of course, we all remember from last year his spinning wheel kick KO of Terry Adam. All the potential in the world for this kid, just coming into his prime at 27.
Yeah.
Definitely someone to look out for in the lightweight division.
Anything else on the undercard that caught your eye? Maybe the Lieben fight, just because?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say caught my eye. Well, I would say Seth Baczynski versus Brian Melanson. Brian Melanson with a brutal knockout victory at the bell of round one. Just blasted that guy into oblivion. Just a brutal KO. We'll see how he progresses in the UFC. But yeah, getting back to Lieben, he looked better than I thought he would. When we talked last week, we kind of said there's two kind of Liebens that show up, and there's one that just looks really, really aggressive and really good, and then there's the other one that kind of looks not so good. This was kind of an in-between Lieben. He looked good at the start, looked much better than I expected him to, but then just kind of lost it and just couldn't get anything going against Andrew Craig. It wasn't a terribly exciting fight. Craig didn't do a lot of damage, but managed to keep Lieben off balance and not allowed him to get anything going during the round. So not really much to say about it. You know, does Lieben have it in the tank anymore? Is he have any future in the UFC? I don't think so. I would kind of like to see him retire now before he takes too much more damage in his career. Because there's really nothing much left for him. I mean, he's never going to contend for a title. He's never going to be at the top echelon of the division. I think it's just kind of time to call it a career.
Yeah, but it very well could be for him.
But Dana White likes him. The fans like him. You know, fighters have a hard time saying goodbye. We'll see.
That's true. Not everybody can, you know, say goodbye gracefully.
Yes.
I mean, look at what was that guy's name? Come on. Liddell.
Like a number of them.
Yeah, that guy.
Liddell, you know?
Well, he because he would just get knocked out and just look, it was embarrassing, like his last three fights.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and you could say that about Krokop. You could say that about Fedor.
Krokop, I think, well, okay. Anyway, yeah. Getting on to the main card, we have Cub Swanson with a decisive TKO over one of my least favorite guys, Dennis Seaver.
You know, the fight was good, though.
It was. No, I like Swanson. I do like Swanson. And Seaver did have a competitive fight there.
It was a very good first round for Seaver. He had a very good top game, was controlling Swanson on the ground. But by the second round, Swanson got his rhythm.
And his takedown.
Yes. Mm. Looked really good, really fast. And as you said, gets a TKO in the third. He is looking like a possibility for the next fight, possibly for one of the top guys in the featherweight division, be that Jose Aldo or potentially Frankie Edgar.
I really feel that way as well. I think Swanson, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, he got a lot of promise, and of course he was a former WEC champion, so he's been there before. We'll see how it goes.
Now, the start of the decisions. You know me, I don't like decisions. I like finishes. Darn it. Munoz, though, did make a statement against Bosch.
Yes.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Man, those punches to the he had to break a rib. Have you seen the medical report? Has anything come back as far as a suspension for Bosch?
I haven't seen the medical report. I guess I could look it up, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, he was brutalized. Munoz just showing he comes back from his injury, looked really outstanding. Didn't look any slower. Looked really strong in the takedowns, really strong in the wrestling, and just dropping some ground and pound of the highest caliber. And just basically pummeling Bosch for the last two rounds. You know, Bosch had a more competitive round in the first round, but then just kind of slowed down, and Munoz just got the better of him. For the rest of the fight, you know, he was just pounding on him, as you said, to the ribs, to the face. Just brutal. Looked really, really good. You can now make the case at middleweight. Maybe he's in the conversation for a potential title fight down the road, a rematch with Chris Weidman.
You know what, though? You got to get over all this Anderson Silva, the rematch, how long it's going to take to get that going. And
plus you got Belfort and Bisping.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Souza. You know, there are other guys in the conversation.
I mean,
he's probably at least another fight away.
I think it's time to have a fatal four-way. Just put these guys in the octagon.
I wonder
if
the Vegas commission will allow that.
Put them all in there at the same time, and whoever comes out on top.
Whoever comes out with, you could have the belt.
Yeah. I'm, of course, kidding.
But, I mean, you could certainly say for Munoz, if you're looking, if Anderson Silva is going to rematch Weidman, then you say, think about maybe putting Munoz against one of those guys for a title eliminator, Belfort or Bisping. Who knows?
Yeah. I certainly could see that. Now, two Strikeforce guys making their UFC debut, Omega. Tim Kennedy, Hodger Gracie.
They're all spelled with an R, and they all sound like H.
So odd to me, but it's Roger, okay? It's Roger Gracie.
Roger Gracie, yeah.
And
you tell that to his face.
Well, no.
Snapped off.
Yeah, I don't feel like being wrapped up like a pretzel. But now, I thought the judges went a little heavy for Kennedy in this one. I thought that Gracie won the first round. He was controlling the top position. He got the takedowns. Yeah. But either way, it was a unanimous decision for Tim Kennedy. But not an impressive win by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it wasn't. But yeah, I agree with you. I had it scored 29-28 for Kennedy. I don't understand how it got to 30-27, but, you know, that's judging. Gracie just couldn't seem to handle Kennedy after that second round. He looked tired. It looked kind of winded. So, I don't know. I mean, he wasn't moving. It really just didn't have anything. So it kind of shows kind of how I talked about last week, where it was, you know, Gracie's going to be great on the ground, but if you can't keep Kennedy down, then it's going to be Kennedy's fight to outpoint him. And that's kind of how this went. Is it relatively impressive? No, it wasn't really impressive. It didn't. And it doesn't really tell me anything, but at least Kennedy gets another, gets a win and gets to establish himself in the UFC. Is their octagon jitters? Get it out of the way, and let's see how he moves on. But it was kind of a non-eventful fight, pretty much.
Yeah. The next fight was not certainly. The next one was an exciting fight. I lost my train of thought there for a second, but the next one was very exciting. And it was Frankie Edgar getting back in the win column, and a win I think he really needed against Oliveira.
Yeah, I think Frankie's definitely needed a win. You know, it wasn't going to be the end of the world if he didn't get it, but a win gets him momentum, a win gets him credibility. And he picks up a win against a very game Charles Oliveira, who was very competitive in this fight.
Oh, yeah. More competitive than I thought.
Yeah, far more competitive than I expected, you know, as we talked about last week. You know, he was landing some shots, was using counter-striking and really just keeping Edgar at bay. He's sticking with him punch for punch and on the ground as well. So he's he really impressed in this fight. So with a few more fights, we'll see how he seasons up. I think this was great experience for Oliveira. Fighting a guy of Edgar's caliber can only help him in the future. And for Edgar, it gives him a quality win to take as he makes his way towards a potential second fight with Jose Aldo.
Oh, certainly. I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later after Aldo has his next fight. I think Edgar is right back there as far as contention.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly he is. You know, I whether or not, I mean, he's still got Chad Mendes up there and Ricardo Lamas for Jose Aldo. So maybe not. That's why I kind of talked about Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson seems like a good fight for Frankie Edgar. And it could be a title eliminator fight. I think that's a nice fight to set up in the future.
Yes, yes. Now, let's move on to the main event that still has people talking. Before we talk about what... Well, of course, Silva lost, losing his streak for most consecutive wins in the UFC. He hasn't lost since, what was it, 2004, when he was disqualified for a questionable upkick. So, I mean, so much happened. So much was at stake. But right after the fight, Silva was talking with Joe Rogan, and here's this, and then we'll talk about that.
Anderson, would you like to have a rematch with Chris Weidman?
No. Chris is the champion now. Chris, I need you. All the people tonight, I need you to respect Chris. Chris is the best. That's it. I finished my working. I don't fight more for the belt. I changed my life now because I'm working hard for a long time. I have the belt for a long time. I'm tired. I relax now. I back for my family. Chris is new champion. Chris, I need to respect people. That's it.
Are you retiring now? Is that what you're saying?
No. No. I have 10 more fights, but I don't fight more for the belt. I'm tired. I fight for a long time. My leg is for the belt. It's finished tonight. Chris is the new champion.
When you say that you won't fight for the belt, but you will continue to fight, does that mean you'll still fight at middleweight? Will you fight at light heavyweight? Do you have other plans? I mean, it sounds like you have plans.
My plan now is back for my family, is back for my students, and relax, and back for Brazil. I respect my fans in here, my fans in Brazil. I need to say one more time, thank you, United States, because I changed my life. I changed the life of my family, and I live in here now. I respect all the people in here. Brazil, eu tentei. O Chris é o novo campeão, ele tem que ser respeitado. É isso.
Anderson, you are very gracious in defeat, and thank you very much for an incredible career. It's been a privilege watching you perform. Thank you very much, sir.
The nearly 7-year reign as champion is over.
Yes, 7 years over, and a very odd Anderson Silva after he loses. Now, of course, it's been talked about plenty. Anderson Silva, perhaps overconfidence, did him in. Here's a guy that was clowning, as Joe Rogan put it, during the broadcast, perhaps too much in the second round, got in his head in the first round, but continued it. Faked an injury, faked that he got hit, faked that he was hurt. And then a left cross does him in. Omega, what do you think?
Yeah, it's hard for me to... I'm still trying to figure out exactly what Anderson Silva was doing in that fight. Was he truly unmotivated? Did he really take Weidman that lightly? That he decided to do his clowning act? You know, kind of like he did to Damian Maia and to Forrest Griffin and those kind of things. You know, part of me wonders is was he looking for a way out? I don't want to think that, and I don't really think that. I think he just got overconfident. I think he was trying to be entertaining, and I think he thinks that the crowd thinks that's entertaining.
I think it's entertaining.
And it is entertaining. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is entertaining to an extent. But there's a point at which it gets ridiculous. And that line got crossed sometime in the second round, and Weidman, you know, put an end to that. But, you know, you say it's entertaining. It's part of the Anderson Silva's mystique that he does that, because I don't know how many casual fans I saw and some of my friends and some of my acquaintances on Facebook and Twitter saying, finally someone put him in here. I hate Anderson Silva because he does that kind of stuff. So just as many people find it unentertaining as it is entertaining.
Some of my favorite fighters do that, though. The Diaz brothers.
Yeah.
Silva, obviously. So I like that. I do think he crossed the line, though. And even his trainer, his boxing trainer, said that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've talked about it before that I'm not a big, huge fan of the Diaz brothers because of those antics. And I kind of gave Anderson Silva a pass because I knew he was that good. But what kind of, you know, and, as a, and I'm talking as a fan here, what angers me as a fan is that the greatest legacy of in MMA history has now been ended, at least temporarily, by stupidity, you know?
Yeah.
By a stupid mistake. You know, the guy who's that good just, you know, there. If Anderson Silva had fought 100%, was just standing there, was trying to counter-strike, and got caught without clowning around, I would have said, fine. Wyman was the better fighter. And move on. Okay, we'll get a rematch, or maybe we won't. And that's fine. I could feel okay about Anderson Silva losing. When Anderson Silva does that clowning and gets caught, not only does he put into question his legacy, he puts into question the title reign of Chris Weidman. Because now we're all sitting here looking at Chris Weidman saying, yeah, he's obviously he's got KO power. He knocked Anderson Silva out. But did he knock Anderson Silva out because he's good or because Anderson Silva got a little cocky and made a mistake? And basically Weidman got lucky.
That's what it seems. And then if you're going to see a serious Anderson Silva that comes into this fight determined to win back the title, which is still questionable at this point, especially if you take into account everything that he said, not only right after the fight, but when he had, you know, a few moments, like a half hour, 45 minutes to go into the post-presser, and he was still adamantly against a rematch, even though Dana White said, hey, you know, behind closed doors, this guy is asking for a rematch already. So, yeah, you have to question, is it just part of the mystique again, just part of the mind games? What's going on? When is this going to happen?
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I was kind of, this is kind of why I was upset on Saturday night, was, look, if you're the greatest MMA fighter in history, and we've been talking like that for years.
When do you think it was?
And you want to quit fighting for titles now? You don't want to avenge this loss? Are you kidding me?
But when do you think that was solidified? After Dan Henderson, somewhere along that line? After Maya? Before Maya.
It was probably before, like, Maya.
Probably he beats Franklin decisively, then comes back and defeats him in the rematch.
Yeah.
And then he went into a series of different fights where you just watch this guy. And, I mean, it's an amazing streak that I think people don't even put that much stock in.
Well, I think it probably was solidified when he defeated Forrest Griffin in such decisive fashion.
He hit him with a kitten paw. Knocked him out.
Yeah, but just made him look, just embarrassed Forrest Griffin.
Well, of course.
Just to embarrass a guy who you're fighting to that, to embarrass a former champion in a weight class you don't fight in.
Yeah.
You know?
And in a weight class above that you fight.
Above you. That's just ridiculous. And I think that was really when we solidified that this man, you know, is the greatest of all time.
And
to end your legacy as a middleweight, champion, after that kind of performance, it's just so unsatisfying for me as an MMA enthusiast, as someone who wants to have clear delineations about who is better than whom. Because I don't think I saw the best Anderson Silva on Saturday night. I may have seen the best Chris Weidman, but I don't think I saw the best Anderson Silva. I don't think Weidman put on the greatest performance either, because he played right in the Silva's game when, you know, as I said, at the end of the first round, played right into that clowning game. Why wasn't he going for takedowns? He knew he was better on the takedowns. You know, the smart thing in my mind would have been to go for takedowns. Now, obviously, history will now say, well, he knocked him out, so it doesn't really matter, and that's true. But there's still questions now. There's still questions. If Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman don't have a rematch, now we have to question, you know, was Chris Weidman really that good? Could Chris Weidman beat a serious Anderson Silva? And I think we really need to know that answer.
I have to say that I think I think Anderson Silva is definitely going to come back motivated. He's going to want that title back, and then he might, after he wins it, retire just to shut everybody up. But he has 10 fights, so what am I talking about? I don't know.
Well, and that's fine. If he wants to come back, defeat Chris Weidman, win the title, and then say, I'm going to vacate the title, I'm fine with that. I don't want the pressure of being a champion anymore. I'm going to vacate the title. I'm okay with that. And then he can go fight GSP, and he can go fight Jones, and make some money for the UFC and for those guys, and no title on the line. And that's fine with me. I really would be fine with that scenario.
Yes, definitely there. We're going to talk about Invicta after we speak with our next guest. She is an independent standout. Omega, is Dan with us? Did Dan come back?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
There he is.
I've been here the whole time, but I wasn't going to add much for it. With that arm bar.
True.
I was trying to respect your segment there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, of course, we're going to move on to Addie Starr. She is an independent standout. Interspecies wrestling is a big thing. She's actually the champion there. What the heck is it called? She just beat Pinky Sanchez in a match. The undisputed King of Crazy title.
Oh.
Yes.
That'll work.
She has done so much. She's breaking in America now. I'm excited to talk to our next guest. Dan, do you have any? I know you've been doing your homework. Do you have anything about her before we bring her on?
Not before we bring her on. I have questions.
I didn't know if you
would. Well, I will say this. It's a name that I have heard without knowing, admittedly, who she is. You know, it's a name I've heard through the independent scene. And it's a face that I've seen. And I'm actually looking forward to this. I find out more about her.
How about you, Omega? I know you've been doing your homework.
He doesn't know a damn thing.
No, he likes the finisher.
I really like, well, you know, well, I my nerd cred has to say, well, okay.
Well.
Any finisher named after a Transformer is like, I want to know more. I watched a couple of her matches. I was really impressed. Certainly going against, I've seen in the interspecies wrestling, she's been wrestling a couple matches I saw were against men, and she held her own.
Yeah, that's something I want to get into, because she's taking on, in the main event this Saturday for CZW, Masada taking on Chris Dickinson. She's wrestled Chris Dickinson for Beyond Wrestling, so she's taken on all comers. And I can't wait. So I'm going to shut up for a minute. Exactly. Here we go.
Fantastic. How are you guys?
We are doing great as well. You're, of course, with Dan and Omega Squad. That's right, Omega Squad. And I think you're going to be one of the first guests that appreciate that name.
Yes, for sure.
Now, I wanted to start out. My first question is, how did you break in? It's especially more difficult, I feel, for a woman to break into professional wrestling. How did you break in? Where did you get your start?
Well, I'd like to preface this story with kind of like a disclaimer in that I was never a wrestling fan when I started wrestling. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know a thing about wrestling until I actually got into a wrestling ring, actually. So what happened was that someone that I knew at the time, I was about 16 or 17 years old, he was a wrestler. And he had spent all this time that I'd known him telling me how incredibly hard it was to be a wrestler, how it was incredibly difficult, it was athletic, it was demanding. So me being the stubborn, hard-headed person that I am, asked him to take me to the school that he went to. So we went, and it was actually this tiny little school above a crack house in downtown Cambridge, Ontario. It was a great place for a 16-year-old to be. And the first day that I went in, I started doing some bumps, I started rolling around, and I loved it from the first minute I was there. And then the trainer asked me, he's like, please, I really want you to come back. There's no girls here that, you know, that can work. Please come back. And then that's just how I started out, was there.
Okay. Now, how long did it take you from training to actually get your first match?
It wasn't long enough, definitely. Because the problem, and I'm sure a lot of other women will agree with me, is that there's not enough girls out there a lot of the time for us, everyone else to work. So those of us that have just started training, we're thrown into matches far too early. So I think it was a few months, maybe 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Luckily, I was very fortunate in that the girl that I was working with a lot was very compassionate towards me. She wanted to help me out a lot. She wanted to help me get better. So, you know, my first matches, as horrible as they were, as everyone's first matches are, I learned a lot. I learned so much from the girls that I got to work in my first few months of wrestling. So I was very, very lucky in that respect.
So is that what kept you going? Oh, my gosh, I'm going to start that over. Take two. Is that what kept you going through the training? I mean, was there ever a time where I was like, this isn't worth it?
No, I honestly, I have one of those, like, I love my trainer to death, my first trainer that I had. His name's Eddie Osborne. He is one of the greatest guys I know, but my God, was he ever a scumbag while we were training. He used to yell at me and scream at me and tell me, like, I was just doing everything wrong, and, like, you know, he'd make us do push-ups and sit-ups and squats, and, like, he was just one of those kind of scumbag trainers that just makes people want to quit. And again, I think it's just my personality. I'm one of those people where, like, if you tell me that I can't do something, that's my cue to go do it. So me going through training was a lot of this whole, oh, whatever, you're telling me I can't do it? Okay, I'm going to do it a million times better than you expect me to do it. So I think that's kind of what kept me going. And, you know, and the girls that I was working with, they were awesome. Like, they were so supportive, and they were so great at teaching me things. So it was a combination of those two things.
So while you were training, I'm going to get these questions out. I'm so sorry, guys. While you were training, you said you weren't a fan of wrestling before, but while you were training, did you look up to anybody? Did you try to style yourself after anybody, or is this your own thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird because I am kind of like a junkie for education and knowledge. Like, I've been in school for 5 years. I'm probably going to be in school for another, like, 6 years after this. So when I was training, I was doing furious research. I was watching wrestling tapes and old DVDs and, you know, looking online on YouTube. And the first wrestling that I ever actually watched, the first tape that I watched start to finish, was IWA 1995 King of the Death Match in Japan.
Oh,
that was the first wrestling show I ever watched.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It was a kind of a strange introduction, a little bit.
Yeah.
yes. Yes.
So it's actually funny because the wrestler that I just fell in love with was Mick Foley. I thought he was so great. I thought he was just the best performer I'd ever seen. I wrote an essay during training about how Mick Foley had changed my perspective on wrestling. So he's kind of what I always wanted to model myself after, because I really admired how much punishment he put himself through for the entertainment of the fans. And then, you know, the way that he was just this larger than life character. And so I guess I always kind of modeled myself after him, which is kind of what led me to, like, my beginning of doing death matches to start out, and this whole sort of persona that I've built for myself of being incredibly, you know, resistant to pain. And I kind of owe that to watching that tape first off when I started training.
So your first match was where?
My first match was actually in my hometown of Guelph, Ontario, and it was a tag match of myself and a wrestler named Warhead against my trainer, Eddie Osborne, and a girl named Dania, who now lives out west in Calgary, actually.
Hmm. Now, take us through that day a little bit. Okay, all right, Saturday's your first match. You walk into the building, what are you thinking?
It's kind of funny because that show, I helped run that show because it was in my hometown. I knew, you know, the sponsors, I knew the building. Me and the guy Warhead that I'd been tagging with, who was incidentally the person that got me into wrestling in the first place, we ran the show together that day. So it was kind of this huge whirlwind of like, okay, I have to make sure that the show goes off. And then I also have to make sure that like I'm doing everything that I need to do for a match. And it was just probably one of the most intense days I've had in wrestling, even up to now. So it was one of those things where it's like, okay, if I did that, then I'm pretty sure that I can do anything after this.
Were you nervous at all getting into the ring, going through the match? Was it a blur?
I have a hard time remembering it because it was such a blur. Because I tend to get some pretty bad tunnel vision a lot of the time when I'm out there in the ring. And I just remember being incredibly nervous, hours before the match. And then once it got time to actually get down and get things together, I was okay. And then the match is sort of a little bit of a blackout. I think I went through a chair. I think I took a pile driver through a chair.
I think.
Again, first match. Good job, me. and then I remember after, my parents were there and they just told me like, oh my God, we're so proud of you. And then that was it.
So they backed you up on this.
Yeah, my parents have always been incredibly supportive, like beyond what they need to be in terms of supportive.
Was there ever a doubt, a backup plan?
I actually have a backup plan. I'm actually a certified teacher for a high school and French and English. So if anything happens to me, like that's, you know, my go-to.
So you have your first match, you have your second match. How long was it really before you knew, I can do this, I'm going to make this, this is going to be fine?
I would say it was a good couple of years, even. I had done a lot of work in Southern Ontario, where I'm from originally, like Guelph, around Cambridge, Kitchener, that area. And then about 5 years ago, I moved up here to Ottawa, where I live now. And I remember I actually took a year off wrestling because I had been really hurt. I injured my neck pretty badly. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go back with it. I didn't know. And then what happened was I got asked to do a show in Ottawa, which was kind of shocking to me because I'd never worked anywhere outside of, you know, my little bubble of comfort in Southern Ontario. And then I got this show where I did a three-way death match with Warhead again and Viking from IWS. And I remember the promoter of ISW, Mike Roch, came to that show. And on seeing that match, he pretty much immediately booked me to come work for ISW. And the second that happened, I thought, okay, I can do this. Like, people are coming and seeing me, and they want to book me. I'm going to be fine. This is what I want to do, and I'm doing it okay. So it was that day, that match, that really solidified it for me. And that was in 2008, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. So it was about, I'm going to skip ahead and then go back again. It was about 8, 10, 11. It was about 2 years before you had your first championship.
Yes.
Okay. Lost my train of thought again. I'm sorry, guys. this is hard for me. Now, my question, I have to do it like this. My question was, is in Canada, is there a lot of indie wrestling companies like there is in the East Coast in the States? Like several one town has several companies, or is it a little bit more spread out in Canada?
It goes up and down in Canada is what I have found. Like there used to be a point, you know, 5-6 years ago here in Ottawa where there was like 4 or 5 companies. And then now we're down to about 2 here in Ottawa, maybe 3. And then in Montreal, there used to be like 4 or 5, maybe 6 companies in Montreal. And it goes up and down like over the years as the popularity goes up and down. What I'm finding is that it's mostly in the major cities. It's not in the small little towns all around around the country. Like I mostly work here in Ottawa or in Montreal or just outside of Ottawa or, you know, in Toronto. Like, I don't get that much of, like, oh, you're going to, you know, middle of nowhere know. Whereas in the States, whenever I'm down in the States, it's always like kind of like little small towns that are having these little shows. But I don't think it's nearly as popular here in Canada. I talk to so many people that, you know, when they find out I'm a wrestler and they immediately think, oh, so you work for WWE? And I say, no, of course not. But they don't even know that there is independent wrestling. They don't even know that that's a thing that exists. Whereas when you go down to the States, you know, it's more widespread, I think.
Just say, yeah, sure, I do.
Well, whatever. It's funny because whenever I'm at work, because I do have a day job, and then people find out, they're like, oh, so you work for WWE? And I'm like, well, I obviously wouldn't be working here because I'd have to make way more money.
Yeah, I'm flying down to Atlanta today, and what was the first time you worked in the States?
The first time that I worked in the States was in 2009, the summer of 2009, was ISW's first ever show in Connecticut. We were in East Hartford, Connecticut, and what was the show? Oh, it was called The Worst That Could Happen in Connecticut. And we were outside in this like little gazebo barn thing. There was so many bugs. I remember it was horrible. And I wrestled Sexy Eddie for the second time. It was so much fun. I remember it was just one of the most fun weekends I've ever had. And I think that was another one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. This was the most fun I've ever had in my life.
All right. Now I want to go back to winning that first championship. What was that feeling like when you actually won that title and you had it for the first time, and after the match, your thoughts?
What was my first title? I'm trying to even remember. Oh, my God.
Wait, I have it. OCW Women's Champion.
Oh, right. Oh, my God, I completely forgot about that.
Told you I did my research here.
Oh, okay. man, OCW. I've only worked for them a few times. It was really strange. It was really cool to win a women's belt because I had had a belt prior to that. It wasn't really well-known. It wasn't a well-known company. It was this little company called UWA where I held their hardcore title, actually. And that was in 2008. So it was a little bit different that like, okay, because I had wrestled mostly guys, pretty much my entire career, mostly for the starting of my career, especially because we didn't have a lot of girls. So I think winning the women's title in OCW was this kind of thing where I was like, okay, I am a women's wrestler and this is something that I can do. And I'm getting a little bit of recognition for it because what I find is that women's wrestling in terms of like forging a path and a career for yourself is a completely different beast from just wrestling like with guys and with everyone else. So I think that was kind of the beginning of like, okay, I have to start being a female wrestler. I have to start being a women's wrestler. I have to work for women's companies. I have to work women. I have to do it this way if I want to get this kind of recognition.
Well, what is the big difference between wrestling a guy and wrestling a woman? I mean, because you seem to have more experience than most women when it comes to wrestling men. So what's the biggest difference, do you think, as far as the style, as far as what you have to do in the ring to make it look more realistic, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, the way that I've always found it is that when I'm wrestling guys, you know, guys are usually tend to be a lot stronger than girls are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that as, like, oh, sexist, whatever, misogynist kind of thing, but it's true. Like, I can't bench as much as, like, my guy friends can. It's just, like, that's just physiology, whatever. But so when I'm working girls, like, it's a lot about us working together, I find. It's a lot about seeing what our strengths are, seeing what, you know, her style is, what my style is, and it's kind of, like, making that gel. Whereas with guys, a lot of the time, unless they're tiny little guys, which I'm going to just throw around because it's fun, when I'm working someone like, let's say, Chris Dickinson, who I've worked a few times, if I'm working him, like, he can pretty much do whatever I need to do. I'm like, okay, lift me over your head. He's like, okay, got it, and he'll lift me over his head. So it's really, I find it's about girls, it's style class, like how we work together, and then with guys, it's just about what we can do that's going to be believable, what's going to be, you know, get the crowd into it, and what's going to kind of make everyone not go, oh my God, this guy's beating up this girl. Like, what's going to make it a really actual fair match?
Do you ever see a day, because like you and other women here locally, there's more wrestling men. Do you ever see a day where it's more woman versus man, women versus men, than just separate divisions.
I think I've talked about this with Drew Cordero, the owner of Beyond Wrestling. I've talked about this with him at length because he's a big advocate for intergender matches, actually, which is why he and I have worked together so much in the last year or so, a couple years. And he and I both think that it's just going to be the norm in the next 5 years or so.
Wow.
Just because it's like, if you look at, you know, a lot of the things that are going on in, like, some of the bigger companies, like, men wrestling women is just, like, it's an attraction. And it's, like, this is being done so well lately that it's not a gimmick anymore. It's just, this is a good wrestling match that's going to happen. And that's how I've looked at it almost every time when I've gone into matches where I'm wrestling men. It's not gimmicky. It's just, it's a match that I'm having. I mean, when I was wrestling Frankie Arian last, I think it was March, like, he and I went in, I was a title shot. Like, I didn't look at it any differently. It's not like I'm like, okay, this is have to do it this way because it's a guy versus a girl match. I was like, no, like, this is a title match, and it's going to be a good title match, so we're going to wrestle. And I think that the next 5 years or so, that's just going to kind of be how everyone sees it, because it's not anything new anymore, and it's not anything shocking anymore. You can't market it as something new and shocking. It's just, it's been done so often.
Do you find it more satisfying when you wrestle a man as opposed to a woman? Because, I mean, I guess it's different. It's a different take on it. You wrestle a man, you've got to overcome strength and dexterity. What is, or do you find it more satisfying to have a straight up women's match where you can really, the size is kind of equal and you can just really go and do different things that you can't do with a man because you can't lift a guy, for example?
Okay, if you're saying satisfying, I would definitely say it's more satisfying to have a good match with a woman, just because there's this stigma behind women's wrestling that, oh, it's not good, it's this, whatever, it's not smooth, it's not hard-hitting, whatever. So whenever I have a really good match with a girl, like, that's very satisfying to me. I feel very good about myself just because we're, you know, again, stubborn, I can do anything personality that I have. So whenever I'm like, have a good match, I'm like, yeah, suck it, whatever. So whereas, like, when I go into a match with a guy, the feeling that I usually have is, what can I learn from this? Because a lot of the guys that I've been very fortunate in that I've wrestled a lot of men that know a lot and have a lot to teach. Like, I got to wrestle Drew Gulak, which was probably one of the biggest learning experiences of my life.
Wow.
I wrestled Drew Gulak and Chris Dickinson in the same day because I'm apparently an idiot. and that day, I learned so much. I couldn't walk the next day, but whatever. I, like, still great teachers. So that's usually how I view the two differently.
All right, Addie, I know Chrissy told you about this moment, and it's about that time. John from Rhode Island, I'm going to bring him on. He has a song to sing to you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, sorry.
John, go ahead. You're up. I hope you have a great song.
This better be good, John.
Yeah, true.
It is. I'll keep my promise. My name is Eddie Starr, and I need to get the cookie jar to bring in my car, 'cause I'm off to the bar to see the movie Avatar with my friend Scar, and it is not that far, because I'm a big star.
Oh, my God. I'm speechless. We're beautiful.
You're so welcome.
My God.
Do you have another one for Addie?
No.
No, that was wonderful.
Can't approve of affection, Dean.
I've got some news for you. Come to my Addie school. I'll just go in my pool. Then play a game of pool, then hold that tool, then squeeze that glue. That's how it's uncool, just like me.
My goodness. Amazing.
John, I've heard every variation, I think, of the pool song, I'll call it. But
you must have brain memory for that one.
I do. Now, John, I tend to remember the horrible things in my life. Now, John, do you have a question for Addie?
I do. Like, the question for you is, like, you're not standing all the women's wrestling on TV right now. Like you said, they're all models now, not currently wrestlers. But if you're willing to say three that you know are totally in love with wrestling and that can totally wrestle and that you would want to have a great match with for a dream match that you know you'll have a great match with, who would that be?
Oh, my God. I don't even watch wrestling on TV a lot of the time just because of that. Oh, my gosh.
It's mostly the indie stars, of course.
Okay, indies? I can go with indies. I can do that for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I watch maybe Raw, like, once a month. I watched it this week just because of the Wyatt family, obviously. But, okay, top three. I think number one is Mephisto, which is interesting. Because her and I, like, we live, like, 2 hours from each other. And we've worked in the same companies, and we still have never had a match. And I've known her for, like, 6 years. It's really frustrating. Mephisto would definitely be one. Mischief would probably be number two.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Mickey Knuckles is number three.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like those. I like those.
Those are all great.
Yeah.
I like brawling. I'm a brawler.
So. John, do you have anything else for Addie?
And would you actually want to do a hardcore match with Mephisto because she does so many?
No, I wouldn't want to. I have recently... because of, I think, Drake Younger kind of inspired me this, I really think that I am done with death matches.
Wow.
Because after the whole Matt Tremont scare, Matt Tremont is a very, very good friend of mine.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a great friend of mine. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I can honestly 100% say that of all the people that I've met in the 7 years that I've been in this business, Matt Tremont is one of the most genuinely kind and caring people that I've ever known.
Yep.
So after he went through the scare that he did, I realized, I'm like, it can happen to someone as great as him. Like, it can happen to anyone. And it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So, you know, death matches, you know, I used to do them all the time. That's how I broke into the business. But it's totally not worth it anymore. Maybe, like, down the road for, like, a huge, huge event, if it was really, really worth it and there's something huge on the line. But just to do them, it's totally not worth it.
Yeah.
So if I was going to wrestle with Mephisto, I would totally want just a straight-up wrestling match with her because she is an incredible wrestler.
There you go, John. Thank you for calling in again, John. Do you have one last song, or did we sing you out tonight?
Oh, I do.
Oh, let's hear it.
Of course.
My name's Andy, and I want to spend time with the ducks while I do my push-up because I don't want them to have any bad luck because I'm playing with my hockey puck, and I want to spend time with that duck who looks so damn rough and tough, and I'll call him Mr. Fluff.
John, you amaze me with each lyric. I'm spellbound by your songs. You have a good night, John.
You too.
Thank you, John.
And good luck to you, Ada.
Thank you.
My brain hurts.
My brain does, too. Omega, go ahead.
Well, Addy, you've just said you're probably done with death matches. You've got a career, you've got a plan B. So how much longer do you think you can do this? Does your career have an expiration date? Is there a time where you think that you will be done with wrestling?
One of my best friends told me at one point that every wrestler has a punch card for bumps, basically. And he's like, you have a finite number of bumps that you can take in wrestling, and when that punch card is done, you will know that you're done wrestling. And I thought that was a really, really great way to put it. So I think it's just, I'm going to go as long as I can, and then the second that card runs out, I'm going to know. I feel pretty good. I've been really fortunate in that, you know, in 7 years, I haven't had very many injuries. You know, I haven't had anything horrible happen to me, so I'm pretty good so far.
All right, I guess I'll take it back. Now, I'm just looking over your match history on a few different sites. You apparently just beat Pinky Sanchez.
Yes, I did.
Just recently.
Yep.
For the Undisputed King of Crazy title, and that happened in Ottawa. Care to talk about that match?
Oh, Pinky Sanchez. Pinky Sanchez is someone that I adore. I really do. So I wrestled him before, actually. I wrestled him in one of my Lego matches. Oh, by the way, Lego matches are not included in death matches, just FYI. I will do Lego matches till the end of time.
Lego matches.
Yes. So, Pinky, I wrestled him before. He's so much fun to work with. He's just, I don't know, he's great. He's a great wrestler. He's so energetic. He's so much passion. So he and I wrestled this, I think it was 2 weeks ago here in Ottawa, and he was supposed to wrestle Chris Dickinson for that title. I was supposed to wrestle Frankie Arion for the other title. Both of our opponents couldn't make it up, so we got thrown into a match together last minute, and we almost killed each other because really that's what the title is all about. Pinky defended that title more than anyone has defended any title at ISW. So it's basically kind of like a 24/7 anywhere belt. Kind of thing. So I have it now. It's the undisputed queen of crazy title. And basically my plan is just to take this and do it justice. And wherever I go and anyone that wants to, you know, have a shot at it, that's what we're going to do.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Beyond Wrestling. You talked a little bit about it where, you know, you had the match with Gulak, you had the match with Dickinson. Now, Beyond Wrestling is it's kind of a strange promotion, at least in a fan's perspective, I think, because they just tape matches in front of other wrestlers, and there's not really fans there. It's just kind of, it really looks kind of how a training session would look. What are your thoughts about Beyond Wrestling? I mean, is this a good way to get the product out? Or, I mean, when you think of Beyond Wrestling, what do you think?
I love Beyond Wrestling. I love it. Maybe it's just because, again, I wasn't a fan of wrestling growing up, so I don't have that, you know, nostalgia for, like, the old school kind of stuff. I'm all about, like, new innovations. And I think, really, we're getting into an age where it's all about technology. It's all about, you know, MP4s. We don't do DVDs anymore. You know, like, people can't always get to shows, but, you know, we have the internet, so why can't they see a show, you know, if they live in California and we're doing a taping in Massachusetts? Like, they should still be able to see it. So I think Beyond really has the right idea in cornering that market. I mean, and, you know, props to Drew. He's all over the wrestlers all the time to, like, you know, tell everyone so they can see this, they can see it. We're willing to give you whatever matches you want if you promote it, if you tell everyone that you're wrestling. Because, I mean, like, no other promotion is going to let me wrestle Drew Gulak and Chris Dickinson, if you really think about it. Like,
yeah.
It's just not really something that's like, oh, this is what we're going to do. So, you know, Drew, I have this great relationship with him where I'll go in to Beyond Wrestling and he'll say, okay, you're going to have this match with Chris Dickinson and it's going to be amazing. And I go, okay, it's going to be amazing. And then I have this, like, goal. Like, Drew tells me to jump and then I go, okay, how high do you want me to jump? And then he tells me and then I do it. Like, it's really, really awesome. He brings out the best in a lot of wrestlers by really giving them something to work for, I find.
Okay.
So a lot of people will come into this business and they'll, you know, they'll expect to become stars and they want everything handed to them. And it's a really, really great place to work hard and hone your craft and get yourself out there, I find. If it wasn't for Beyond and ISW, I wouldn't have half of the notoriety that I do. I don't think at all.
Now, opposite of Christian Rivera, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but if the WWE or TNA calls, is that where you're headed? Is that where you want to be?
No, not at all.
Really?
Nope.
Same reason?
I want to wrestle. Because here's the thing. If it wasn't for actual wrestling, like being in between four posts and wrestling with another person, I would have quit this business years ago. Years and years ago.
Wow.
So if I'm in a company where they're not going to let me wrestle, there's nothing that I love about this anymore.
You're not a model, you're a wrestler.
Yeah, I actually have the barbershop window shirt that says models are not wrestlers.
That's a good one, yeah.
So yeah, like if I'm a part of a company and they're like, hey, we're gonna pay you to, you know, look skanky and you know, hang out with the great Kali and dance, I'm gonna be like, no, I have better things to do with my time.
Sure, Stu Hart's rolling in his grave.
Exactly. So like, I'm not about to do that. And like I said, if I can't wrestle, I'm not gonna be a part of it.
All right, so I have a non-wrestling related question. This might be something or it might fall flat. Grew up, obviously born and raised in Canada. Were you raised a hockey fan?
I am a huge hockey fan. I actually played competitive hockey for about 17 years of my life.
Answered my question. Who'd you play for?
I played for the Guelph Thunder, which is a traveling AA girls team.
Thunder, I have to take it. My fiance and I are huge hockey followers. That's why I'm asking. So we know the junior teams and all that weird. All these weird teams she knows of. Who's your favorite professional NHL team?
My professional Maple Leafs, definitely, just because I grew up just outside of Toronto. I grew up just outside of Toronto. You can't hate me for it.
No, I can't. I can't. So, as a hockey fan, how did that lockout make you feel? And then we'll go back to wrestling.
I was just more... I got so angry about it that I couldn't get into hockey this year. I actually couldn't. Because I was, like, I was so mad that they were so selfish. Because if you think about it, like... they're getting paid millions of dollars to do the things that they love to do. And, like, if you relate it to wrestling, I'm sure that wrestlers are getting paid way less to do something that they love just as much, and they get hurt way more. They don't have near the insurance or the publicity or anything. So I think they were all just being whiny little babies, and I got really, really upset about it. I actually work at a sports bar, so it was hard for me to ignore hockey for the whole year.
Yeah.
But... it was just, it really killed my interest. And I live in Ottawa, so it was all Senators games.
Oh, yeah, goody.
So getting back to wrestling real quick, the All-American Canadian, what was the genesis of that?
It all started with my first show in the States that we did in Connecticut. The first few of them that we went to Connecticut for ISW, I just had such a great time in the States. And there's actually a story of, like, the spark of it. The night before an ISW show, it was Friday night, we all went out. It was, like, me, I think it was Player Uno, Cecil Nick, a couple other people. We went out and we watched Captain America on opening night in the States. And I remember at the very end, if anyone hasn't seen this, sorry, spoiler, after the credits, there's the part where he's, like, have you guys seen it, where he's, like, punching the punching bag? And then he, like, punches it and, like, explodes. And as that happened in the theater, this guy in front of us just stood up and just put his hand up and yelled, "America!"
America!
And so we started just dying, laughing at this. And then the whole way home, we were, like, pumping our horn and be like, "USA! USA!" And I was just like, God, I love America. And then I just started this gimmick where it was just in person, like in real life, I would like buy American flag t-shirts and I would yell USA, and like it was just hilarious. And then eventually, like, I kind of just started doing it on Twitter, just talking about how I love the States, and then people they loved it, and they started like sending me stuff about the States and being like, "Oh, you have to come to this part," and like, "Oh, this is totally American," and this and this. And then it just sort of evolved. And I was originally planning, setbacks. I was originally planning to move to the States. So I was all excited about that. And I got my citizenship. So I have American citizenship. So I'm actually really legitimately am an all-American Canadian. And my mom is from the States. Like, my whole family lives there. I've spent a lot of time there. So it's like this unity of like Canada and America. And I'm about both of them.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Now, I do want to go back to WSU. You do work there now as well. But the first time I actually heard of you, and this is kind of bad on me, was this year when you were part of the Queen and King of the Ring tournament. Of course, your partner was the aforementioned Matt Tremont, and you guys made up Scars and Stripes. Now, what was that experience teaming with Matt Tremont?
It was great. I love Matt Tremont. He kind of embodies what I wanted to be when I first started wrestling again, with the whole, you know, Mick Foley with like this big burly brawler, and he's totally this big burly brawler. Like, and he does it better than so many people out there. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people get, you know, the flack for, okay, wearing jeans and a t-shirt when you're wrestling, right? But he does it, and you're just like, yeah, that's totally what he should be wearing. That's totally what he should be doing. He's perfect. Like, he is a great, great brawler. And we were up against a lot of, like, high flyers. We were up against, like, we wrestled A.R. Fox and Athena, who are known to be, like, flippy little people. That's not what we do. You know, we just punch people in the face. We're not going to do flips. So it was this really, really cool experience to have a guy that, you know, had the same kind of style as I did and was, like, genuinely as nice as he was, because he really, really wanted to work with me and make this tag team something that people could, like, hold on to and cheer for. So that's why, like, we were really active on Twitter about being a team, and we did promos together. Like, he was so on board with it, and it was just amazing to work with him.
Yeah, Matt Tremont, like you said earlier, he is really one of the nicest guys in the business, period, bar none. He's a friend of the show, and wow. But enough of that. You're going to return for the WSU Rumble, if I'm not mistaken, and that's coming up the next deadly doubleheader that CZW and WSU have. Now, do you know what you're doing on that show yet? I know it's a few months away still.
I have an idea of what I'm doing on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
I have an idea of what I want, and it's just a matter of talking to, you know, the people in charge. Because as you know, at the Queen and King of the Ring, I was kind of screwed out of winning by my good old friend Chris Dickinson. And not only did he screw me, he screwed Matt Tremont too. So basically, it's just a matter of talking to the people in charge and basically allowing Matt Tremont and I another chance to show that we actually can, you know, win a match fair and square as a tag team.
Mm, I like where that's going. Now, is there any opportunity, any interest, shall I say? Has DJ Hyde contacted you for CZW work at all?
It's funny. I was supposed to work at CZW quite a while ago, like years ago now, and it just never really went through. And this is, again, why I need to move to the States, because being in Canada, it's incredibly difficult to do, you know, transportation and everything. Getting down to New Jersey from Ottawa is a big pain. So he did contact me quite a while ago, and it's never happened. He's talked to me a little bit recently. I think it's just a matter of sitting down and hammering it out. I just graduated from university a couple months ago, so I've been incredibly busy for the last few years. So it's just now that my schedule is kind of opening up, and I'm actually able to go and do bigger things and do more. So I think if it does happen, it's going to be in the next little while, just because I actually have the opportunity to do it now.
Okay, sounds good. Now, if people want to follow you, want to find out what Addy Starr is all about, where can they follow you?
Definitely Twitter. I am a Twitter whore. So it's at Addy Starr on Twitter. I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/AddyStarsAndStripes. But definitely Twitter. I am an English degree, so like I really like the idea of like communicating thoughts in 140 characters, so I'm kind of overactive on Twitter.
All right. And do you have any bookings coming up, even in Canada, anywhere?
Yes.
What do you got on your...
I have a lot coming up. So this Saturday, I actually have a show here in Ottawa. It's about 10 minutes outside of Ottawa in a little town called Greeley. It's for Acclaim Pro Wrestling. Colt Cabana is going to be there, so kind of a big deal. I'm teaming with Remarkably Average Dan Barry, one of my best friends, and we are in a four-way intergender tag match, which is going to be so much fun. And then I think next show would be August for WSU and CZW, so make sure you come to that. That's down in Voorhees, New Jersey. I'm going to have a ton more bookings. It's just a matter of getting it all finalized. And every time I get something new, it's always up on Twitter. So just follow me there and you'll know everything.
All right, Addy, I do want to thank you so much. It's been a great interview and you're welcome anytime. I do certainly mean that. So if you want to come back on, just hit me up on the old Twitter there.
All right, great. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, no problem. Thank you again.
It's been a pleasure.
And have a great night.
You too, guys.
So that was Addie Starr. Make sure you check her out on Twitter at Addie Starr. So wow.
So you think she's so vicious in the ring and just so nice.
Yeah, check out her matches on Beyond Wrestling too. There's a lot of previews out there.
Oh, Mickey, you didn't ask her about the Starscream.
Omega.
Actually, I was going to answer, but then we kind of got into WSU, and I was like,
no, damn you, you should have.
Damn you, Omega.
Next time.
No, Omega.
Failed me, Omega.
Oh, I didn't do my due diligence, I'm sorry.
Blast!
Curses!
Wait, did you say due diligence?
Yes. I did say due diligence. Well, Dan brought it
you
up.
You haven't done your due diligence before this interview. You haven't done your due diligence before this interview. You haven't done your due diligence before this interview.
I'm just owning that now. I'm sorry.
You're what?
It's mine now. I'm just owning that now. It's mine.
It's yours. You should. You should make T-shirts.
That's right.
With that on there. A picture of Tully. You haven't done your due diligence before this interview.
No, you know it's that picture of Tully with stylized like the Obama thing from 08.
Yeah.
And instead of hope, it's due diligence. You know.
I love it. You know. I love it. You haven't done your due diligence.
Or it just says diligence and on the back, do them.
Do them. Yes.
Now, Omega, of course, coming up, I know you want to talk about this. Invicta Fighting Championship 6.
Yes.
Main event, the rematch. The Cyborg taking on Kunin. What do you got to say about that one? That's going to be explosive.
The rematch, which is potentially probably the two best 145ers right now. I mean, Cyborg is always in the conversation at 145. You know, undefeated at 145 in recent memory. Just vicious, just so strong, so aggressive, so dominating. Going up against Marlus Kunin, who on the ground is fantastic and has great kickboxing. As I mentioned, this is a rematch. First meeting did not go so well for Kunin. This time, we pretty much know what to expect, and so does Kunin. The only difference is, you know, is Cyborg really? How is her recovery from the steroid getting popped for steroids?
Yeah.
You know, obviously she had a fight in the last Invicta card where she was just outclassed her opponent. Was not tested in the slightest. That was just a slaughter.
Well, her last Strikeforce fight was the same way. I forget who she fought, but she just dominated this poor Japanese lady that came. I think she was a tourist, and they put
just plucked her off the street.
They just threw her on this thing.
They put her in this. I don't understand. Why am I here? And got killed.
Ow, why are you kicking me in the face?
No punches, just vicious punches.
Ah,
yeah.
I did not suffer up for this.
I mean, I don't think anyone's really tested Cyborg since Gina Carano, and that went fairly quickly. So, you know, certainly Cyborg has not lost any of her aggression. Has she lost some of her strength? Maybe, but even if she has, she's still much stronger than most of the girls she goes up against. Kunin is going to have the height advantage. She's going to have the length advantage. She's going to have to use it, and she's going to have to find a way to keep Cyborg at bay and to keep from getting hit. Take her down and submit her if she can. The question is, she can. Because Cyborg's, you know, her just straightforward, just throwing punches left and right, and she just bull rushes women and just overwhelms them with punches and kicks and pushing them up against the cage and you know, putting them in the clinch and just laying on them, just laying kicks and knees to them. It's going to be hard. I really don't see it going much different than the first fight. I mean, there's really nothing that gives me any Now, of course, we just talked about Weidman and Anderson Silva, but
I'm not making a prediction on this one, you jerk.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I kind of see it the same way. It's a very dominant, dominant former champion in this case against and Marlos Kuna is a former champion too. Granted, at 135, so it should be a good. It could be a very good fight. It would just can Kunin survive the onslaught? If she can, then she's got a chance. If not, then, well, we'll be crowning Cyborg as a 145-pound champion once again.
Yes, yes, certainly. And then the co-main event looks very interesting. Now, I don't know much about the fighters in this, but my goodness, they're both undefeated at 9-0.
Yeah, you look at the strawweight, they're not currently ranked on the consensus strawweight rankings. So it's an interesting fight from, you know, this was supposed to be a strawweight title fight, and then that kind of fell apart. So now it's a strawweight title eliminator. The winner will get Carla Esparza when she returns from her injury. You know, 9-0 fighters, and I don't know much about either of them. They're both Hamasaki had a fight on Invicta card several months ago at Invicta 2, and you know, she won that fight. Again, 9-0, two 9-0 fighters. Somebody's always got to go. Let's see how it goes. I'm not very familiar with either of these women.
Yeah. But the co-main event should be very exciting. At least somebody's going to have a loss on their record after that one. Anything else on the rest of the card? You're the Invicta guy. You know what? I haven't been able to check them out quite yet.
Well, I mean, I think for a $15 card that's going to be on pay-per-view on TV, you're going to get a potential for a lot of exciting fights out of this card. You have Leslie Smith and Jennifer Maia, which is probably a flyweight title eliminator fight. Both those girls have some outstanding records and put on some good fights in Invicta before. You know, Leslie Smith's coming off the loss to Sarah Kaufman, so it'll be interesting to see how she comes back from that defeat. And Jennifer Maia is a good prospect as well. There's other Jessica Penne coming off her loss of her atomweight title to Michelle Waterson, trying to get a win against this is going to be an interesting pronunciation, Nikdali Rivera Kalinok. I don't know much about Kalinok, but Penne is very good, and you know, she was in that fight against Waterson. Waterson had to come up with a submission to win that fight. And then you know, there's some other exciting fighters we've seen in previous Invicta cards. We've seen Sarah Dialeo. She's a ranked fighter. She's very good. Beck Hyatt's a fan favorite. Always has exciting fights. That should be a good fight against Mizuki Inu. And the Tiny Tornado, Tisha Torres.
I like that.
Tiny Tornado. Going up against Rose Namajunas, who we talked about last week with the 12-second flying armbar in her last outing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. The other fight is the featherweight title eliminator fight. Two top-ranked featherweights, Edyan Gomez versus Charmaine Tweet. Winner that will probably get the winner of Cyborg and Kunin. So there's lots of potential on this card. Lots of fights that have meaning within Invicta and within the overall women's MMA rankings. You look at with some of these the bantamweight fights with Sarah Dialeo versus Lauren Taylor. And then there's another bantamweight fight on the card. Certainly Sarah Dialeo, potentially an audition for the UFC bantamweight division. We'll see. But for $15, and 10 fights on a card,
yeah,
you really can't go wrong.
Not only that, it's their debut on terrestrial, I guess you could say, pay-per-view. And it's also still available on iPay-per-view if you want to go that route. So... Yeah. Definitely check it out. The website.
I'm looking forward to HD.
Yeah. The website is InvictaFC.com. Go there. It's a really good website because you can check out some of the previous fights. You go to the upcoming events, click on a girl, and you can see some of their highlights.
They also have a YouTube which is, I think it's Invicta FC on YouTube, or just search for Invicta. But they have a lot of their previous cards are on that on that site as well. So you can watch some of the fights of some of the fighters that are on the card.
Yeah, definitely. So I do want to talk a little bit about Raw. Now,
why?
Dan, that family, the Wyatt family, comes on out. How'd you feel about it?
I like it. To me, honestly, the video packages were better than the actual segment.
I thought they could have done better.
And I don't think it was their fault. I just think it's, again, booking.
Yeah, I mean, they come out, they have a creepy entrance, but they attack Kane.
Which, I don't know. I expected. But I think going after Kane would have been great maybe even 12, 13 years ago.
Damn.
What? It's a joke now. He's a joke now.
Do you think?
No, and I don't mean a joke in, oh, he sucks and what a horrible wrestler. I mean, what I mean is, let me explain, he's not Kane, the unstoppable red monster machine who doesn't talk, doesn't have any emotion. It's Kane who does goofball segments with Daniel Bryan.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? This is not a slight against Kane, Glenn Jacobs, Dr. Isaac Yankum, whatever you call him now. That was a joke. But I'm saying it's not a shot against him. I'm just saying them attacking him they might as well attack Daniel Bryan.
Mm. Well, true. But
that way. If it was
Daniel Bryan's on a different path now.
What I'm saying is if they would attack Kane, who talked with a voice box, who was going after his brother and was a different character, and didn't look like his tights were made by a 12-year-old. Completely different story. I would have gone for somebody else higher up in the card.
Now, how about you, Omega? How do you feel about the Wyatt family, their debut?
I really like the entrance.
Yeah.
I really like the presentation of them.
Yeah.
I like how they come out. I like the promos they've done. I think the build up to this point has been well done.
Oh yeah.
I was a little underwhelmed with just coming out and beating up Kane. I would have liked to have had a more of an establishment of them, at least within Raw, as opposed to just randomly coming out and beating whoever happens to be in the ring. So I mean, but I'm gonna reserve judgment for now. I think it worked. Like I said, the presentation's good. It's different. It's new. I'd like to see where it goes.
Fair enough.
The same question the V'ger asked: is this all that I am? Is there nothing more? There should be. There just felt like there should have been more to it.
Well, what about the fans chanting Husky Harris?
Well,
that
I think the fans are so douchey. Wrestling fans are so douchey nowadays. I don't. Well, it's true.
Well, we used to be those douchey guys.
Because when Kane come out, I didn't stand there and scream, Dr. Isaac Yankum. Dr. Isaac Yankum. Like a douchebag. I tried to stay within the show.
You know, there are times when you can
douchebag.
Crap. Yeah, there are times to crap all over something. That wasn't really
not it. When you first come to hell out.
Not when you have such not when they presented it that well.
Oh, I know who you are. Aren't I cool? Shut the frig up.
WWE finally gives us something that is different. It's new. It's somewhat original. It's certainly a different presentation. It's something to look forward to, and then the fans get all on it because they're bored, or they're wrestling fans, or they're, as you said, they're douchey.
Don't come to the show then, jerk.
Yeah, why did you waste your money to go?
It's a show. You're supposed to, it's like going to a movie. You suspend reality. You're watching the show. You're watching the characters. Forget it.
Isn't it odd that we have to explain that to wrestling fans when normally we're explaining it to people who say, oh, wrestling's fake? You know?
No, I
even
never...
The people are in that joke, we still have to explain that to them.
When I was a kid, you know? It was all about telling somebody who's wrestling fake, like, it's not about being real, it's a show. It's a TV show, a-hole. Now it's telling wrestling fans, hey, it's a TV show!
Yeah.
Man, that's a good point.
I was so mad watching Twitter and Facebook on Monday, I just didn't comment because I was going to say a lot of things. And there's a lot of people I strongly disagree with watching wrestling. There's a lot of people I agree with a hell of a lot. But it's just a TV show. The thing, and like the whole thing, going back to the whole thing with MF and all this other crap we've had to deal with in the last year, it's a friggin' show. It's not real. God damn it. It really pisses me off. I'm sorry you brought it up now.
I was just talking about the Wyatts. I don't know what the hell you went off into.
It's like every day it's something else. You know what I mean? You know it's true, Dean.
I have no knowledge of what you're talking about.
I'm going to smack you in the face. My point is it just started. Wait until 2 weeks from now when McMahon Fs it up. Then Chan Husky Harris. Wait a month. Give Curtis Axel a month before you go start screaming, Mike McGillicuddy. You know, have some respect. His father was Mr. Perfect. Give him a goddamn chance.
Well,
yeah, they actually elevate their gimmick, and you know, come on, give him a break, give him a chance.
Everybody says, he wasn't given the chance. He finally gets a gimmick, he gets a name, he gets Mr. Perfect's remix, and you're still bitching about it. What do you want?
He gets Paul Heyman. You know, he gets pushed to the main. He gets Intercontinental Title Champlet. I mean, I'm not
Are you
bagging Curtis Axel.
With what I'm saying?
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm trying to agree with you.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think I actually wrote an article on HIACTalkRadio.com about this very thing, where fans are so jaded now, and they crap all over things before it has a chance to breathe, before it has a chance to live.
I honestly sometimes I get, you know, I work on the computer all day. I'm tired of looking at the computer screen. I sometimes wish we could go back to the day before the internet where we could not tell everybody in the world who doesn't give a crap what we feel about something. You know, just let the show, the movies, and TV unfold and just enjoy it. And if you don't like it, shut up.
No, I can certainly agree with that opinion, Dan. I do. Now, let's talk about something that's perhaps better. I really like where this... No, Mark Henry. I really like where Mark Henry's going. He's doing some really good business.
All of a sudden, and again, I'll preface this by saying, every time we talk about it, my fiance will bring up her favorite word that somebody ever created, which was Mark Henry's brainerism. And all of a sudden, I still can't convince her. I can't get her to watch the segments. She has this idea of Mark Henry. I'm loving what he's doing. It's the best thing going on Raw right now, in my opinion.
I agree. I think Mark Henry has come out as a very credible challenge to John Cena. And not only that, I'm hoping he wins on Sunday.
There is a chance. I was just thinking about it. There is a chance we could finally see somebody take the title from Cena and keep it for a while.
I remember he was the World Heavyweight Champion and he was on a very destructive roll there for some time until the injury bug hit him yet again. Just imagine if Mark Henry stayed injury-free. Yeah, injury-free all this time.
And imagine this. You have somebody who, like I said, is credible and he looks credible. This is a big man. Say what you want about Mark Henry and him getting up in age. You tell him he sucks.
Well, I mean, I guess it brings up the point. I mean, is this his retirement run?
I don't think he's ever going to leave the company. He's been there since 1940.
Well, I mean, you know,
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, he's, you know, he does have all these, he's been injury prone. He's, you know, everybody thought it was pretty serious with the retirement angle, you know, a few weeks ago. Is this his last run? They're going to give him a title run with WWE Championship. Then he's got the whole complete set, and he can go out and say he held everything.
Hey, Dean, how long has he been signed?
Oh, I think it was 96 or 97.
I was going to say 96, right?
I'm thinking 96. It was at an In Your House, and he was immediately put into a role with a commentator.
Which is a great idea. I think that was a great move.
Jerry Lawler. But anyway, moving right along.
I'm hoping not, because what else is he going to do?
Look, I like Mark Henry. I like the angle that they're currently on. And I really do hope that he defeats John Cena.
It's okay to chant a former gimmick is when he comes out as a heel and you chant sexual chocolate.
You know what? But he's so good at doing everything right now. His promos are top notch.
Yeah.
Is
that what he was doing while he was off?
Maybe.
Promo school? Like Sting.
He was staring in front of a mirror probably in the bathroom and just talking to himself for hours on end. I'm sure that's what he was doing.
Me too.
Because his promo, I don't know. Maybe he went back and watched some great talkers.
I know what he did. What? He listened to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, and he goes, I need to be as well-spoken as those gentlemen.
I'm not sure about that, Dan.
That's more believable than standing in front of a mirror going, Mr. Wonderful. I am Mr. Wonderful.
Trust me,
tons, right there.
Yeah, but tons of people do it, man. That's how people do their promos.
I go in front of the mirror and I run. Ah!
To get the facial expressions down, to get everything you need down, people do it. People do it.
Yeah.
It's a secret of the biz right now, I'm giving you. Now, of course, before Sunday's pay-per-view, in which the return of Rob Van Dam, a lot of stuff going down in Philly. It's local to us, boys.
Local to you, really.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I forgot.
I was going to say, I'm not that local for me, but that's okay.
I forgot you guys live farther away. But before then, the Combine Part 2 takes place at the Proving Grounds. That's right. See the stars of tomorrow today.
Today! Harold Boyer's going to be there?
See the stars of yesterday.
Matt Diamond?
No comment. But see the stars. What the hell's his name? Jimmy Lyon.
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, he's Kunja Hawking another. I don't know, but Jimmy Lyon will be there. He has to avenge a humiliating loss to the luchador, American Roughneck.
We have the best music and video person in the business.
Who's that?
Our DJ.
Oh, our DJ is wonderful. I enjoy her work. Now, let me just tell you, I enjoy her bonfires as well.
Yes, her bonfire. Yes, I certainly do enjoy her bonfires, and I'm going to record that next time.
No, I wouldn't do that.
It was like we were doing a live interview. It was hilarious. Oh, so let me ask you a question. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Will Craven be there?
I don't know. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen at the Combine.
Well, don't go, because Slim Burgundy's going to be there.
You know what? Go anyway, because the Burgundy Brigade, it grows in numbers.
Yes, it's getting bigger and bigger, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. But so, the Combine, 1030 Delsey Drive.
Building 4W.
In Westville/Deptford Township, New
Jersey.
Exit
25 on 295.
And before I forget, there's also another show. Now, on Saturday night, you have a choice. You have plenty of choices this Saturday night. But as I said on Twitter, the right choice to make on the East Coast would be to go to CZW. And I just want to bring up the card here. I know
that was good. I liked it.
Yes, isn't it?
What you just said, that was clever.
Isn't that clever? I was.
Best Wrestling Association that weekend. CZW.
Yes.
Waka waka. Thank you.
I thought about that for 2 minutes before
two
I.
2 minutes, I tweeted.
Yes.
I thought of it 2 seconds.
Well, come on. It took me a little while to get the right wording.
I got you.
So it's New Heights. It's going to be on iPay-per-view, and of course, that's RF Video, or I. What do you know the site, Dan?
Oh, fudge.
Oh,
CZWWrestling.com.
No, it's CZWIPayperview.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Now.
I know it links there when the show's coming up. That's
yes,
why.
It does. Now, announced so far, Masada taking on Chris Dickinson. Of course, he has a lot of buzz about him right now. He's taking on Addy Starr. He was actually at Tournament of Death. He wrestled Drew Gulak there. So you're going to see Chris Dickinson take on Masada for the World Championship of CZW. Number one contender match, and Dan, listen to this one. The winner will be the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title, and that is Tommy Dreamer taking on Drew Gulak. And Dan is just speechless at that. Of course, the CZW World Tag Team Championship, it's the Blackout. They are the champions, of course, with the Wild Sicilian, Robbie Moreno, taking on the Catalyst. That's a rematch, of course, from WrestleCon. You're also going to see a tables match, and that is one of the finalists of the Tournament of Death. Scotty Vortex taking on the Nation of Intoxications, Devin Moore. The match I'm personally looking most forward to, and I think Dan is as well, still speechless at that number one contender match. It is going to be the Beaver Boys, Johnny Silver, and Alex Reynolds, or you could call them the Slop Hunters.
The Slop Hunters.
I like the Slop Hunters better. I don't know why they changed their name. They're taking on Four Loko. That's Azriel and Bandido Jr., of course, with Chrissy Rivera. So that is going to be, I think, match of the night.
Yeah, I'm going to pick match of the night.
Are you
certainly
ordering?
Certainly going to look great on ringside. Yes, I'm going to order the paper.
Honestly, I really think you should.
Ever since Best of the Best, the only one I missed was Proving Grounds.
Oh, and you did see Tournament of Death. Did you finally see the final?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, because last time you cut off Frazier.
Yeah, I didn't finish it.
Yeah. Anyway, Andrew Everett, of course, he used to be the former Chia Kid. He's taking on Greg Excellent. I don't know what to expect in that one. I mean,
every time. I honestly didn't think this would happen, but every time I've seen a new CZW show, I've seen something different, and I didn't really think it was possible.
And you're going to see something different there, that's for sure.
Greg Excellent scares me.
Now, as Chrissy talked about earlier, AR Fox and Four Loko's Alex Colon have selected each other's opponents for the 13th. Colon is taking on Shane Strickland, and AR Fox is taking on Biff Busick. So you have that match coming up as well, those two matches, and a championship scramble match. I don't think you can get any, I mean, my goodness, winner gets a guaranteed title shot if they're choosing. It's the Dark Sheik taking on Caleb Conley, Dave Christ, Shane Hollister, Ron Mathis, and Rory Mondo.
Jeez.
That's a scramble, all right.
Man, somebody could die on that one.
Rory Mondo almost did die, like the last two times he's wrestled in CZW.
I see a pattern.
They set him on fire. He got the pile drive through a guardrail.
Did you technically go through the guardrail?
Yes.
Ouch.
Yes.
That hurts.
Certainly does.
Christ.
Well, that was at Proving Grounds, the last time, the last show in Voorhees. So that's coming up at the Skate Zone. And Voorhees, if you're local, get on out there. That's Saturday night, July 13th.
Like CZW Arena version 2.
Yeah, like I said, going into this whole thing, the right choice on the East Coast is to check out CZW. That's all I got to say about that. So that's New Heights. New Heights. Boy, did we cover a lot of stuff tonight or what, guys?
I can't believe we're still up.
I can't either.
I'm so tired.
But it's been one hell of a show. Chrissy Rivera, of course, her candor, her truthfulness, I appreciate that. And, of course,
she just has fun.
Yeah, yeah. certainly. And, of course, make sure you check out the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. Make sure you check out the Twitter and follow us at HIACTalkRadio. The Facebook is Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. We're, of course, on BlogTalkRadio.com/LNSL. Also on iTunes and Stitcher. And, Omega, where can the fine people find you?
People can socially stalk me on Twitter at Omega.
Dan?
They can not follow me on DanLaw83.
I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. The Dean of Credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And
East Coast.
The last thing I want to say is I have a big surprise, not only for the fans of New Moon Rising Wrestling, but a big surprise for Joe Gacy himself. I've scoured the globe. I have found the masked maulers. And this is really going to put Joe Gacy to the test. He wanted to come into New Moon Rising Wrestling and make a statement. Here you go. It's not even officially announced yet.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry about it, Dan. The masked maulers. Watch out.
Oh, boy.
The landscape changes in New Moon Rising.
Does he like you just making these matches for him?
I haven't been able to speak to Joe in a few weeks.
Oh, there's a little crack in the love relationship there.
I'm sure he's had trouble. Perhaps his phone was turned off. Perhaps his phone was stolen. I don't know.
I don't know who would steal that man's phone.
I just haven't been able to get in touch with him. I did ask him if I could have his Walkman the other day. But
he has a Walkman?
Check it out on eBay. But now.
Yeah, I get it.
But now, I'll tell you what.
It's time to go.
It certainly is. Guys, next week, it's the return of the Reverend. Bob Levy will be in the house.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And, of course, we're going to talk to stronger than ever, Matt Saigon, as he walks in to crowning glory in a career-defining moment, I do believe.
My pick.
Really?
That's my pick.
I got to go with Justin America.
Yeah, no.
Well, with that said, tune in next week because it's Saigon, it's Bob Levy, and it's going to be a mature-rated episode yet again.
Yeah, boy.
But have a good night, everyone.
When I was back there in seminary school, there was a person there who put forth the proposition that you can petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer. Petition the Lord with prayer. You cannot petition the Lord with prayer.
Oh my God, what the f*** just happened?